Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're live, my friends. It is Thursday, the 19th day of May, 2011. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. We have Dr. Paul Craig Roberts joining us on the economy and also his contention that this is a police state set up with Dominique Strauss-Kahn because Kahn hadn't been going along with the absolute total raping of third world nations and had actually been talking about debt forgiveness and changing course at the IMF. Kahn is a Bilderberg Group member, a globalist, one world government promoter. And it's all degrees of evil. But when you're that far down the line, the guy just radiated corruption. I have no doubt where there's smoke, there's fire. But I want to hear what Dr. Paul Craig Roberts has to say about all this today, coming up in an hour and a half from now. And another visit with Dr. Steve Pachinik today in the third hour. We may even go in a little bit of overdrive with him to take your phone calls if you've got any questions or comments for him. But I will bring up the continuity of agenda question for him that listeners have wanted me to pose. How can he say that George Herbert Walker Bush was good, but then George W. Bush is bad? How can he say 9/11 is an inside job and the bin Laden thing's fake, and then say that earlier administrations, from his perspective, were better? Well, that's his personal view. We've had him on about his inside intel as a psychological warfare expert. And the whole bin Laden situation, but I will pose that question to him. But I've also got him on dealing with a Wall Street Journal article that dealt with Al-Qaeda wanting a safe harbor inside the United States and a known Al-Qaeda affiliate basically being mainlined by the U.S. media and what Pachinik calls payoffs to administration officials to get them to do that. So some very interesting information with Dr. Steve Pachinik coming up in the third hour today. That said, I ended up staying up here until around midnight last night. Aaron Dykes has not even left, even though I told him, I said, look, go ahead and come back in. You know, don't stay too late. I guess midnight around here isn't that late these days. I said, don't stay up all night. Well, Aaron has such a passion for the information that he's here right now. The 10-minute expose video is ready, but because it's shot in high def, it has to convert several times before it can be uploaded to YouTube. It may be ready by the end of the show. Probably not. I haven't even come up with a headline for it. I don't know what you call this, just a White House running scared over birth certificate. Birth certificate hoax part two. I've got a big stack of news and information that broke last night at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Birther bombshell, Corsi to release evidence proving Obama certificate a fraudulent composite. We've already found that, but Corsi is pretty conservative when it comes to being very careful to make bold statements. His book doesn't even say that Obama basically wasn't born in Hawaii. It just says there's a cover-up of it and give us the birth certificate. And of course, he's revealed that 3 weeks before the birth certificate was released, he had word it was going to be released. I also had word through reporters in and around the White House and out of Chicago that was the case. And they thought about releasing it with Bill O'Reilly on the Super Bowl, but thought better of it to closer to the election. But there's been some big developments. Esquire got caught putting out a hoax article yesterday. WorldNet Daily says they're looking at suing them. I think they pretty much have to because this was definitely economic warfare against WorldNet Daily. And it's a psychological warfare tactic. We'll tell you about that. There's a bunch of geopolitical news, very scary police state news. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is Thursday, the 19th day of May, 2011. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts joining us, also Dr. Steve Pachenik. There has been some huge new developments on the whole Obama birth certificate situation. I'm going to be breaking that down in a moment. Also, in other news, we're going to be going over Dominique Strauss-Kahn to resign his IMF post, may get a $1 million bail in New York. Again, he has resigned as managing director of the IMF. Also, they've got a new favorite for the helm of the IMF in the running. We also have Gordon Brown, Mr. World Government himself, in there. Dominique Strauss-Kahn has arrived for sex case bail hearing. We'll give you the latest on that as it unfolds. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts does join us coming up in about an hour and a half from now, dealing with his headline, The Strauss-Kahn Frame-Up, The American Police State Strides Forward. I have an open mind on this whole thing. I don't know what happened. I don't think any of us really do. That's why we have trials in this country. That's why everyone deserves a trial, even if it's an unsavory pro-world government Bilderberg Group member like Strauss-Kahn. Because if this dirtbag doesn't have access to a free and fair trial, I am not going to have one. You understand? That's why Ron Paul is right, saying, okay, Bin Laden did it, you say. Arrest him. If he didn't resist, arrest him. Bring him in. Let's hear. Let's interrogate him. Let's get him on the witness stand. Let's call witnesses. Let's find out. That's what trials are about. They're investigations of the truth. And anybody that promotes not having trials, anybody that promotes torture, anybody that promotes secret arrest, anybody that promotes secret military commissions is a tyrant and is a criminal pushing the absolute abolition of freedom. History is 100% clear on that. So we'll be getting a breakdown from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on that coming up. Speaking of police state, on the heels of last week's Indiana Supreme Court ruling where the head judge in the decision, in the winning decision, it was a 3-2 at their Supreme Court, said, I read the quote repeatedly, that the police can go in your house for any reason or no reason at all. And it actually attacked the Magna Carta as some type of criminal instrument. I mean, this is the basis of Western civilization, the Republic, America, red, white, and blue. See, America isn't just red, white, and blue. We honor the flag because it symbolizes the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. And people could say, well, it isn't perfect. It isn't perfect because we haven't enforced it. We've let criminals slowly abridge it until now the bottom has fallen out. Same week, U.S. Supreme Court abridged the Fourth Amendment about 90%. This gun case in Indiana is 100% and is over the top. If it's possible, it's 110%. And here's Illinois Gun reporting for Infowars.com. Indiana sheriff, house-to-house random search is now possible for guns. And remember Blagojevich, a few months before he got disgraced, we played the CBS News clip, gave a press conference, and said, I want to use the National Guard door-to-door searching for guns. Just, well, you have no presumption of innocence. We're going to come search your guns. And the feds have financed with grants, and so the cops take it and do it. Knock and talk for at least a decade from Arizona to Texas, from Vermont to Massachusetts to California. Liberal, conservative states, they don't care. And particularly Texas does this. Houston and Dallas that I've seen in the Dallas Morning News, Houston Chronicle, they come to your door and say, we'd like to come in and look at your guns. And most people just are intimidated and say, come on in. I have nothing to hide. It's the state that has to be bound down and controlled. It's not that we have something to hide, and so that's why we're against letting them in. It's that they can't be trusted in history. They work for us. 100% of the time when cops start coming into your house without warrants and there's more news out of the thousands and thousands of secret sneak and peek warrants issued by secret federal courts. under the Patriot Act, and it's non-terror related in almost every case. They just come in your house when you're not there, and it's designed for framing you. It's designed for planting things in your house. And what happens if you catch the FBI or the ATF inside your house? Well, they gun you down. And I've been following the last 2 weeks or week and a half. The Arizona SWAT team shoots Latino former Marine dozens of times. This guy had no criminal record. This guy was upstanding record in the Marine Corps, two tours, heavy combat in Iraq. His wife wakes him up. He's working the graveyard ship. Just been asleep 2 hours. Got home at 7, ate something, went to bed. Woke him up. I mean, my wife's woken me up before when she's seen somebody walking around by the back gate, or one time somebody climbed the fence and got in our yard, some crazed fan. And my wife's woken me up before because I sleep like a dead pharaoh. I mean, I sleep like I've been dead for 2,000 years. You can have firecrackers going off, and I mean, you can shake me, and it's actually a weakness that I sleep like the dead. But she's shaken me awake before, you know, to go to the instant access pistol safe and get a gun. Well, the children saw men looking in, ran to their mother. She saw men looking in. She woke her husband up. He went for his AR-15. They busted down the door and reportedly shot him 60 times of 70 shots. I got to hand it to him. Usually when SWAT teams do this, they shoot 100 times and only hit the person two or three times. Of 70 shots, hit him 60 times, basically liquefying him, but he was still alive. And what's really outraged folks are the transcripts of the tapes, the 911 tapes. She's calling saying, please help. And she goes, sorry, it's a SWAT team. I'm not sending you an ambulance, basically. She's like, he's bleeding to death. He needs help. And 5 minutes later, she goes, he stopped breathing. He's dead. I can't believe she's so calm. She says, listen. And the woman's like, well, there's a SWAT team at that address. Those are law officers, correct? She's like, he's bleeding to death. Just give me help. Well, there's a SWAT team there. Didn't send the ambulance. Because you don't send an ambulance when gods have just killed somebody. And now all over the country, they're announcing they're going to do no knocks for everything. You've got an unpaid parking tickets, and they're actually advertising this. Here in Austin, they have announcements, taxpayer-paid-for ads that go, Roundup! In fact, I always mean to try to find one of those. I hear it on KLBJ and other stations. Like, Roundup this weekend, your last chance. Sounds like it's a monster truck advertiser. This week at the Coliseum, the monster truck extravaganza. Be there, the gravedigger, the master, dinosaur crusher. Well, it sounds like the same guy that does the monster truck ads. This weekend, the roundup begins. If you haven't paid your ticket, the warrant's coming. We're coming to your house. Pay it now. Call this city number or go online to pay. Openly trying to scare people. Now it's 11% of Texas has arrest warrants out. Oh, that's a free society. They can't pay. They're bankrupt. Cops everywhere writing tickets, squeezing everyone, illegal aliens above the law racing around. But my point is, they call it Roundup. They have these ads all over the country. So people get used to hearing about real roundups of political dissidents. When it happens, it's an acclamation. That's an army psych warfare program. Before the Panama invasion, for months, they flew helicopters around, did touch and goes, would drop flashbangs, just so the Panamanian military, when the real attack happened, would hesitate just a minute or two while the C-130s blasted them with their Vulcan guns, their Gatling guns, and their howitzers. And they hesitated just a few minutes, and bye-bye, you thought it was another drill. So this is all psych warfare. Police chiefs are on record admitting they wear the mask. They do it to intimidate. And the message is, you don't pay parking tickets, we're going to kick your door down and just randomly spray bullets into a few people here and there. And that's why they support the officers when they do it. The cops aren't psychological warfare people. They don't know why they're being allowed to do this. They're all given a false template. We've all seen the video of them go in the house. They shoot the little dog. The people are crying, why'd you kill my dog? And you watch the video of the cops getting off on the pain and the children crying. I mean, I've played these videos on air, and it's demonic. There's a satanic feasting on the psychic vampire level. Very wicked, very evil. I'm not saying every SWAT team in history was evil. Everybody was, you know, that does this is bad. But more and more, you see the sadomasochistic, demonic, psychic feasting going on. Remember, SWAT teams were set up in the late 60s, admittedly, by Gates in Los Angeles as special weapons attack teams, not special weapons and tactics. That's the politically correct name. The CIA helped set it up. They're a hostage, rapid reaction force. Before, they just had guys that had a lot of testosterone and didn't even need a helmet. They put on some body armor, strap it on, go in and, you know, take out the hostages. But now they wait 2 or 3 hours and creep around and at Columbine or every other shooting and then don't help anybody. I've talked to so many old retired cops. In fact, one of them owns a car repair place here in town. Got to know him years ago, became an advertiser locally. And he was just talking about when he was a detective, they didn't need all the gear. They just had testosterone. But the point is, this is all about, these are death squads now. That's what they're being phased into. That's what they're being turned into. And it's a tool of intimidation. So they're saying now, we're going to go ahead and just make every warrant service a no-knock. And so you move, you thought you paid off a ticket. I've had it before where I did pay off a ticket and had to call up courthouses. It's happened a couple times when it's a, you know, out of county thing and say, you got that check. I've got that cleared check. I paid it. They go, well, there was a $10 fee we forgot to assess. So it's not good. We sent you a letter. And I'm like, well, I moved. I must not have gotten it. Let me pay the other $10 fee. Well, now for the $10 fee, and there's basically going to convert, larger and larger brigades, of these people at the state level to just come, kick down the door, and if you always read about the old insurance salesman retired, gets up, wrong house, they kill him. 92-year-old woman, they kill her. This Marine, they kill him. But see, that gives them a propaganda problem because they teach you to worship the Marines, but now one God has killed another God. By any historical yardstick, we are turning into a hardcore police state with an offshore private banking cartel openly robbing us and incrementally turning our police into federalized, merciless goons. And in the process, the police are destroying their own future. But I don't even blame the police at the end of the day. It is the American people that have sat idly by and put up with this that have allowed this to happen. Now, I started ranting about how they killed this poor Marine. Again, they saw men looking in the windows. The children got scared. This all happened in a matter of 30 seconds. They busted down the door. He reportedly didn't get a shot off. And they just totally shot him full of holes. And their argument is, well, we got to protect ourselves. We're trying to stop narcotics. Well, turns out no drugs found in the house. And the reports were first it was the wrong house, but which they do all the time. You see it constantly in the press. But now they're saying, well, no, it was the right house. Kind of like the cops when they put that guy in handcuffs out in Oakland on the train deck, the platform, and then shot him in the back. And then told everybody that he'd fought them and wasn't in handcuffs after they confiscated 3 cameras. Turned out somebody was in a train that was stopped and filmed the whole thing. And somebody else filmed it from about 50 yards away. And he was in handcuffs and they just shot him in the back execution style. You watch the video, it doesn't look like it was an accident. He stretches the gun out, shoots him right in the back. Goes through his back, bounces back up into his heart. And it was suspects of a fight on the train. Turns out it wasn't even the right guy. It's like that case in New York of somebody punched a cop at a nightclub. They set up a checkpoint outside, searched everybody. Turned out he was the wrong guy. And the cops took him to the facility and helped beat him for 8 hours off and on. And finally, some good cops blew the whistle and said that their commander sodomized him with a broken toilet plunger continually for 2 hours. That shows total psychopathic behavior. I mean, 2 hours? And then blood was pouring out? I mean, how do you do? I mean, what type of demon, even if you were psychopathic, wouldn't it get boring after 30 seconds? I mean, hours of sodomizing someone with a broken plunger? I mean, who are they hiring? The Bill of Rights and Constitution is supposed to protect us from crooks getting into government, boss hogs getting in, and then hiring thugs under them. to where if Boss Hogg tries to do that, Boss Hogg gets in trouble. Your county gets out of control, you go to the state, you go to the Texas Rangers. They come and deal with it. They don't deal with it, you vote in new reps. Same thing with the feds. But we can't do that anymore. And there's all these TV shows just worshiping what they're doing. I mean, I don't want to get into any more horrible stories of what the police are doing or how many cases of cops sitting outside topless bars pulling over the drunk dancers and demanding sex from them. I mean, there's a big percentage of people that want to be criminals and they're smart enough to go become police officers. And this is the historical problem. Everybody knows that about Mexico and other third world countries. And Paul Watson was in Tibet and tried to take some photos just of a mountain gorge and cops, local cops. It wasn't even the professional from his experiences quite a few times in China, the national police. It was the local cops came over and demanded a bunch of money for him to take photos. And then he saw them doing it to other tourists. This is what happens in Mexico. I mean, everybody knows in third world countries the cops are horrible. And I remember going to third world countries with my parents who were well-traveled, and I'm somewhat well-traveled because of them. And I remember seeing the cops looking goonish just as a child and thinking they look scary. But seeing cops in America, and they were usually, you know, tough guys, but, you know, hi, how you doing? You felt good as a child seeing them. But I remember being in third world countries, and they were on power trips. They had that evil look of abusing people, and folks were scared of them. And I remember being a child and being creeped out by them. And I remember once being pulled over and the Mexican police demanding some money and how slimy they were with, you know, gold teeth and big mustaches and give me money. Well, now I see cops, a lot of them, and that's what they're like. I mean, I won't go down to 6th Street at night because they have special units, I guess, who enjoy it, who are like these shaved heads with devil tattoos all over them and black gloves just looking at you trying to and it's like flashbacks to college of like bouncers showing off trying to start fights with people for no reason. And I'm like, what? I mean, you see some guy with big black circles around his eyes and a shaved head and black gloves, and he sees good-looking girls walking by, and he comes over and demands their ID and looks at it and asks them questions. I mean, it's living in a third-world country. I don't like it. I mean, you can just look at somebody, if you've got any discernment, generally, and you know, tell that's a nice person, they have a good vibe. And you still see cops changing tires on. And it always looks the same. It's some middle-aged guy, doesn't have a crazed look in his eyes. You know, you don't get a bad feeling. More and more, yes, it's scary, folks. Look, I got big news coming up. We'll be right back.
Coming at you live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
All right, let me cover a smattering of key news. I'm getting into our big birther bombshell. Of course, you release evidence proving Obama certificate a fraudulent composite. And you add that to what the White House did yesterday through their minions putting out a hoax dealing with Corsi's WorldNet Daily book. By the way, we sell at Infowars.com. Where's the birth certificate? They're definitely running scared, and more they're hiding something. And remember, I was getting criticized 2.5 years ago because I was like, I don't know where he was born. And then I was like, well, his name did get changed to Barry Sotero, and he was listed as Muslim, and he lied about that. Doesn't matter if he's Muslim or not. The point is he's lying about it in Indonesia, had to give up his citizenship. I'm going to be breaking that down. Because it's very important. By the way, Dr. Jerome Corsi does join us tomorrow. And I believe tomorrow is the day he's going to roll out his, quote, proof of this. But we've already seen the proof, the curring, the computer manipulation, areas that are highly pixelated and low res, areas that are high res, 100% proof they went in and altered it. And it's done shoddily. So there's two different scenarios there. Well, I'm going to break it down in a moment. You notice all at once they're going, yeah, your phone's tracking you and everything you're doing. Yeah, there's government and corporate kill switches in all the major new electronic devices, not just phones and computers, washers, dryers, light bulbs, the fluorescents, the data down power line is able to then use them as a flicker switch to activate and hack into your computers. That's Associated Press. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. A total control grid going in. As I told you years ago, they're now announcing government break-ins over radio, TV, internet, cell phones, 9,000 telescreens going in saying tattle on your neighbors. I mean, it's like they're following 1984 as if it was a script. And on top of that, they're building threat fusion centers everywhere, openly having regular Army, National Guard, Marine Corps, checkpoints, totally illegal. National Guard arresting thousands in New York alone, New York State. I have that local Fox newscast, how great it is. They drive you through the high-powered X-rays, which are deadly. It shows the troops standing around them. And we help arrest 2,000 people for drugs and guns. And just all of it off the chart. And, oh, look, the armies of the Kentucky Derby. They're arresting people that get in fights and stuff, you know, in the parking lot who are drunk. And then they show it on the news. I mean, it's a full PSYOP rollout. And as I told you over a decade ago when they got rid of Glass-Steagall, when we had George Humphrey and other economists on, they were going to create massive trillions, now over 1,000 trillion conservatively, in fraudulent debt, have our traitor government, bipartisan, sign on to that debt that they created that we don't owe as a ball and chain. It's time to break the chains. It's time to take the balls to the walls and go all the way and take the wrecking balls and knock down this modern Berlin Wall of the mind. And it's time for police, military, bureaucrats, those that serve the system, to break the trance. This is not for security. This is not good. This is a criminal government. And it's way bigger than Barack Obama. Let's get that straight. Guys, I forgot to get a water. Will you get me one, please, just because I don't want to start hacking here on air. Thank you. For some reason, coffee just doesn't seem to stop you from coughing. Thank you. Now, that said, here's just some of the police state news, just some of it. You know, Indiana last week and the U.S. Supreme Court separately both ruled that there's no Fourth Amendment. And the Indiana ruling gives me chills every time I read it. It is so criminal. It is so bold that the Chief Justice said that the police can go in your house without a warrant for any reason or no reason at all. I mean, it is not any more broad than that. And then suddenly all over the news, they're saying, yes, we've only been doing a few thousand a year, which is a lot. Now they're going to expand. And now even local jurisdictions, not just federal court, are going to issue sneak and peeks for the cops to go in your house when you don't even know they're there with this mass roving ground warrant. Kind of like the fake warrants judges have been swearing out under federal grants. The states accept the grants and the judges get behind it in the political jurisdictions that are particularly treasonous like Austin. And they take blood at checkpoints without a warrant. And my real estate lawyer is a well-known former high-level state judge, and I was in his office last year, and he brought that ruling up to me, and he just said, I can't believe America's turned into this. He just says, we're in a lot of trouble. The bottom has dropped out. And that, of course, is a legal term. There's nothing holding them back now except our moral courage to stand up and to get good people into government to reverse these courts. I mean, it's the chains have been broken by the tyrants. The dragon is loose. And they're chaining us down with bureaucracy and propaganda and economic degradation. We'd better break the chains now because they're adding more chains every day. An Indiana sheriff, an Illinois gun, great folks, have written this op-ed piece for us. Indiana sheriff, house-to-house random search is now possible. And it's got reports, links to his reports and his press releases. And they're openly saying now they can do door-to-door gun sweeps. And that's 2 years ago. We had the Army colonel on, regular Army, big Army, on from Iowa in Arcadia. And it was in the local paper. It said the local gun shop owner has agreed to play the part of an American terrorist. And we're going to raid his gun shop. And then we're going to search citizens' homes for guns. We're going to barricade and blockade the town of 700, and we're going to search every home. and the citizens have agreed to let us go into their homes. Whew. And they're doing these drills everywhere. I mean, they're really trying to run the military men and women through these drills to where they just get normalized and go, well, I've done this drill, you know, 15, 20 times. And they drill the military, National Guard, regular full-time military with police all over. We have countless newscasts we've linked to on the website where local news is saying how great it is. And the role players are constitutionalists and they practice killing us. I mean, this criminal government is in full scale, at least 20-year preparation for all-out war. And now they hit the afterburners. I mean, it's increased the last 2 years by a magnitude of, about to dead reckon, 20 times. I mean, it's an exponential jump. And I've told folks this. Years ago, I might get chills once a year when I looked at an article or covered something. I'm getting chills every 5 minutes on this show now. I mean, look, the hair is standing up on my arm. Because at an instinctive level, just like when you're brought to the edge of a cliff, my body's going, whoa. My guts are going, whoa, something big is on. And they positioned us for this economic collapse all along, and they're going to stage terror attacks to blame them on domestic groups. We even have White House memos advising how great a domestic terror attack would be, how it would help the president. And they are clearly getting ready to try to use their internet takeover switches, all of it. They are moving towards this. And with it is a lot of people think, well, I'll just stay out of this and I'll be all right. Folks, this is about taking your pension funds, public and private, is now being pushed openly by both parties. It's about totally devaluing your dollar. It's about just the total collapse of society. And remember, major university studies show that in the 10 years of the Great Depression, more than 7 million people starved to death or died from complications of malnutrition. And that's when 90% of the country lived on farms and was somewhat self-sufficient. 10% live in rural areas now, farms. Half of those are self-sufficient. Now, there is a middle-class flight. It's predominantly white, but there's also a lot of other folks who are middle-class and educated who know history, and they are running. I can't tell you, you go out to these towns around Austin, it's doctors, it's lawyers, it's psychologists, psychiatrists, it's former military officers, and you walk into any little store and every person comes up to me. A lot of them who previously didn't even know who I was and years ago moved out to these towns. And they know full well historically what's coming. And it was more reports in Russia and more reports in the U.S. where bunker building quietly in the bottom of houses, in the wealthy, particularly former government people, is just off the charts. Why? Why are they? Is every major police department basically hardening their facilities? This has all been planned. And I am so sad for everybody because it's going to be rough. Now, if we were able to have a big enough political awakening in this country and really stood down the globalists and used the alternative media while we've still got time to let them know that we're aware of what they're doing, and checkmate them, they may back off. But the globalists are masters at committing their forces, betting it all in, double downing. And they pretty much have already put this collapse into motion. It's very hard for them to pull out of it. And so they create a political atmosphere where things are going to break down so bad that there'll be riots in many cities. Cities will burn. Sections of cities will burn. And you will want the military on the streets. See, they're masters at setting the table, setting the dominoes where you'll actually want them to do it. And then they'll actually come in and do a good job of shutting things down, shutting riots down that are just looting, you know, behavior of destitute welfare folks and others. And that's what they've done in countless third world countries. It's in the 112-point IMF World Bank shock doctrine plan. How they implode it at the first level, riots start because of no food and because of prices going up under hyperinflation. Then they come in and crack down, and the middle class has no choice but to basically go with the establishment. I mean, it's all been socially engineered out, okay? And it's the end of America. Everybody can see it. You can feel it. You can know it. And there's some different wild cards, though. A lot of people are still self-sufficient. There's so much stored up old wealth in the middle class. There's guns. There's a lot of counties and cities that are under the control of real Americans still. There's a lot of people in the military and the police establishment and the bureaucracy that understand what's happening. We're not going to be as easy as Mexico or Brazil or Nigeria or Indonesia. It is not going to be as easy. Now, the system is going to stage terror attacks, and they're getting ready with the preparatory phase with 60 Minutes and all these other shows saying those that don't like the Federal Reserve are cop killers. Look out. They're going to blow stuff up. Oklahoma City's coming. So they're already pre-scripting with the soccer moms and folks. Hey, there's McVeighs everywhere. They're about to bomb you. Show that as the real Americans, as this implosion accelerates, stand up and get more credibility. 90% of warfare is psychological. The globalists have no qualms. They're beyond evil. They will trigger events knowing we've got the moral high ground to be blamed on us. And you need to understand, it's not the helicopters, the tanks. Most of the people in the helicopters and tanks are on our side. And that's evidenced by the different surveys that have been done. Will you fire on Americans? Evidenced by Ron Paul getting the most political contributions of anybody, in fact, the majority from serving military last cycle, and it's already starting up this time. The problem is that... I can get in the globalist mindset. If you study warfare theory, you've got to study the enemy's operations, their tricks, what's worked best for them. You've got to become them. And that's how I can become the enemy in my mind, war game from their position. I do this when I'm driving. I do this when I lay at bed at night. Then I can tell exactly what they'll do. And I'm not giving them ideas. They've done this before. They'll stage massacres of cops, military, to try to really get them fired up. Well, we'll get those patriots. They like to target federal buildings that'll have a daycare in them. That's why Oklahoma City was chosen. And that's what came out in sworn affidavits. McVeigh, who thought he was setting up patriots, got mad when they picked one with a daycare center and threw a fit, went rogue, and they definitely then decided, if he wasn't already the patsy, that he was the guy they were going to burn at that point when he said, I'm not going to blow up kids. And they said, well, you just don't get this, do you, pal? And of course, Operation Gladio in Italy in the 70s and early 80s, declassified CIA ran stage bombings of school buses and things like that, because there's nothing better on a newscast than some bloody kids in a fireman's arms. So we outnumber the globalists hundreds to one conservatively, but they still can play the dirty tricks, and the public is still somewhat naive enough to buy it. And I just want you to understand what we're going into. And I want you to know what's happening. There are some real ultra-low intensity attacks that are carried out always by people who have been assessed by the government psychologist on staff at the prisons. Then when they're released, they'll even release them early. They have a handler that comes in and tries to trick the low IQ, mentally ill person to go out and try to bomb something. But they're so stupid that they're never, ever really to carry out a big attack. And that's even come out last year in the news. The FBI had 8 different cases, set up people, created the groups, tried to get them to carry out attacks, but they're so dumb they can't, generally. That's why the globalists will have to go with real attacks, or they'll hire a fence group. You know, they'll fence it through a group like the Weathermen, which later came out were government operatives, and that's why Bill Clinton pardoned even some of the patsies who had bombed police stations and things like that and killed cops and blinded cops. I mean, just look at these headlines today. Bill Clinton calls for Internet Ministry of Truth for a government agency to counter Internet lies and be able to shut down websites in the U.S. Bill Clinton will tell us what the truth is. He's so truthful. Ron Paul says U.S. may try to occupy Pakistan. Well, absolutely. That's ongoing. Bin Laden's latest audio tape praises globalist engineered fake revolutions. And I was just watching Obama at a press conference during the last break. He said the people are rising up against tyranny, rising up for their rights in these Arab nations. And in Syria, in Libya, Egypt, in every case, it's now admitted that these groups, the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups, were openly funded by the State Department and sent in. And here's the latest bin Laden tape that they got from the rat hole, supposedly, and it's praising the revolutions. And they've been proven to release all these fake audio tapes and videotapes before, but just magically it praises it, now giving it the Al-Qaeda seal of approval for these groups, so the globalists can even stir up a horde of organic people to basically use like patsies against others. And so here's bin Laden and Obama agreeing with each other and saying how great these revolutions are and how great freedom fighters they are and how it needs to be supported. So bin Laden saying, oh, you're great, and so is Obama. Obama saying, oh, you're great. And there's now intel coming out that they may use their Taliban Al-Qaeda groups in Pakistan to try to overthrow that government. Kind of like they used them in 53 against the Iranians.
Ooh, Lordy, my trouble's so hard. Ooh, Lordy, my trouble's so hard. Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Don't nobody know my trouble but God.
Here's another psychological warfare example. Headline reads, panic at Minnesota airport when TSA conducts drill and doesn't tell police. Or other headlines, panic at high school when police don't tell teachers or students it's a hostage-taking drill. They don't ever want to announce these to create the psychological fear and the perception in the community that there are real terrorists threatening you. Okay? And I was just watching more of Obama's speech that's ongoing. Every time Bush or Obama is launching a new anti-terror initiative, Al-Qaeda releases text or videos or generally audio agreeing with whatever they're saying, agreeing with global warming being real, saying how great the rebels are that are globalist-backed. Going along with the official story, just like Al-Qaeda came out on a message board. Oh, somebody said on a message board that bin Laden is dead and it's true. And just like Obama said, it's all true. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And then I get emails and I see comments on our YouTube videos saying, oh, Alex, what do you got to say now? You're discredited. Al-Qaeda has come out and admitted he's dead. Oh, really? On a message board? Really? I mean, I could go on some Arabic message board and say that I was Santa Claus and that I admit to coming down people's chimneys at night. Is the Associated Press going to run with headlines with it? And coming up in the next hour, ahead of our guest, I'm going to spend a lot of time on the economy. I'm going to spend a lot of time on Iran and Pakistan and the fact that more and more the Pentagon is moving towards a full-out occupation of Pakistan. Ron Paul's now warning that's the scuttlebutt in Congress. That video and press release is up on PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. Ron Paul, U.S. may try to occupy Pakistan. But speaking of hoaxes, this is a classic tactic. The media will come out and say, everyone knows Alex Jones is discredited. Or everyone knows Ron Paul's discredited. Everyone knows the moon is made of Swiss cheese. And Esquire, which I've noticed is the particular mouthpiece of the White House for Democratic White Houses attacking people and putting out disinfo, breaking Jerome Corsi's birther book pulled from shelves. And they put this out yesterday from one of their news reporters, Breaking Politics section, saying that Joseph Farah had cussed out Dr. Jerome Corsi, that he called all the bookstores and said, recall them, voluntarily send them back to me. I'm having them destroyed. Contact WorldNet Daily. We'll give you your money back, which is a form of economic warfare on one front. Trying to bankrupt the hundreds of thousands of copies that are out there, by the way, selling quite well. to create the illusion and the idea that it's being recalled so that it's that discredited thing. This is targeting people that aren't really paying attention. And the news picked it up for a few hours. Oh, book recalled, discredited. That's like the New York Post saying Jesse Ventura had backed off of his claim that Bin Laden had been dead for years. We got Ventura on. He said, I never said that. Where's the source? There was no source. This is thinking of you as an idiot. This is insulting your intelligence. And so it's meant to bankrupt them. It's meant to create the illusion that they're discredited. And Farah came out and said, this is absolutely made up. And he's going to have to sue them now. He has to. He's been economically damaged big time. He's got to get his honor. And they panicked yesterday evening after this being up all day, or up for a long time, and came out and said, it's satire. See? That's because the White House is scared of this birth certificate issue. We're going to break it down.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, I want to, in one swath, in the next segment, get into Arthur Bombshell, Core City release evidence proving Obama certificate a fraudulent composite. This key article from yesterday afternoon by Paul Watson has already scrolled off the front page of Infowars.com. It's at the bottom of the featured news area of PrisonPlanet.com. I think I'm going to have one of my writers repost it as the top link on Infowars.com because it's so important. And we do have a video coming out. It'll be at the top of the Alex Jones channel sometime this afternoon. It'll be at the top of Infowars and Prison Planet. A key 10-minute video I shot last night up till about midnight. Aaron stayed up adding documentation to it all evening, all night until this morning. And now he's busy converting it and dumping it down and getting it ready. So that's coming up. And why is this important? The three birther videos covering the controversy in the last month had about 1.5 million views. The biggest one has 700,000 views. And why that is important is on YouTube, if you type in Obama birth certificate or birth certificate, it is the top link. And at this rate, it'll probably have about 10 million views the next year. And we've got some videos with that many views. And on Google, it's the in the top 10 searches on the Obama birth certificate is that one video. Now, that's a video I shot the day he released it. We just looked at it, hoping it was real because we wanted to move on. And, well, I'm going to talk about it when we come back. It's just this new video. I haven't figured out the title yet, but I need to do that in the next hour or so so I can get it uploaded. It's encoding right now. I need to come up with a headline that describes what's happened here. And I asked my crew, White House running scared, White House launches dirty tricks in birth certificate cover-up. You know, more proof, Obama birth certificate fake. I mean, I don't know what we call it. I mean, what do you call, I'm about to cover when we come back. The White House has come out saying it's going to be one of their main campaign issues because they don't want to focus on the real issues. You got Corsi coming out, and he wouldn't say this unless he had the proof. We've looked at it. We have the proof, but that it's a composite of multiple real birth certificates. That's what we said weeks ago from our research. Esquire putting out this fake story, breaking Jerome Corsi's birther book pulled from shelves. And even when they had to add that it was satire later, they did it at the bottom. I'm going to read this article when we come back. This is the issue. If it's discredited and it's dead and buried, why are they going whole hog after Corsi? Why is the White House in ABC News going after him yesterday, right when this new thing comes out? They are scared to death. By the way, Got a lot of new books and videos at Infowars.com. This one, I think, is the best for waking up newbies. Great animated film. The American Dream, Fighting the Lying Liars, One Stupid Lie at a Time. Available at Infowars.com. Into the Fire that catches police and provocateurs red-handed at the G20 staging events. Burning police car on the front. Into the Fire. Invisible Empire by Jason Burmes. Big Brother by Mark Dice. Excellent. Ventura's new book, 63 Documents. You can get those together and get one of my films free. And where's the birth certificate? The case that Barack Obama is not eligible to be president. Well, just on the Indonesia citizenship issue, that's the big one. Number one New York Times bestselling author of The Obama Nation and senior staff reporter for WorldNet Daily. And we've got these available and discounted at Infowars.com right now if you want to get the book. And very, very important information. Of course, he's joining us tomorrow. Okay, I'm going to get into all of this on the other side. Then Dr. Paul Craig Roberts joining us, and then Dr. Steve Pachenik as well. We'll be right back.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, coming up in about 25 minutes, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts joins us on a host of key issues, including his view on what's happening with Dominique Strauss-Kahn, now the disgraced individual who stepped down as the head of the IMF and is still in custody for the alleged rape sodomy. Then we have Dr. Steve Pachenik joining us to cover a host of issues, and Obama's new announcement that Israel must be based on the 1967 borders. That's just talk to get the new Arab Spring movement to somehow link up with the globalist and the Al-Qaeda forces they've got that are the head of these movements on record. Very complex developments on that front. And we'll get Robert's take on that, and also Dr. Pachenik's take on that coming up. Here's the headline. Obama, Palestinian state must be based on 1967 borders. Continuing, officials exploit Indy 500 to roll out new federal alert system. Indiana is one of their big beta test states. I've always pointed that out. They were the first that I know of more than 15 years ago, or right around 15 years ago, to have license plate reading cameras up. That was not classified, but not public information when I discovered it. They're the folks that have said there's absolutely no Fourth Amendment, and it's actually a bad thing. So you got some real hardcore despots up there. Okay. Good people, though, in Indiana. But they definitely have an out-of-control government. Okay, let me get into the whole birth certificate situation. I want to be clear. I shot a special report on this last night. It'll be up in the next few hours. 10-minute report at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I haven't developed the title yet of the special video report, but I'll be able to give that to you by the end of the broadcast coming up here in an hour and 50 minutes from now. But I want to be clear. I was criticized 3 years ago when the whole birther controversy began, before the media even gave it a name to try to criticize it. I had Tarpley on, who had questions because I respected him, and I had Phil Berg on because I respected him. This is when Obama hadn't even gotten the nomination yet, because I knew they were guys who had integrity and did real research, and I interviewed them a little bit, but I actually got criticized because I didn't commit to it. I didn't say that I think there's total proof and I think he was born in Kenya. I said, look, my issue is Obama is the guy getting all the Wall Street money. He says all his advisors are these globalists. He's going to continue what Bush did, but it's going to give left cover to it. So the left's going to go to sleep. He's going to support torture, secret arrests, new wars. I knew that because of who his advisors were. I started making the Obama deception when he was president-elect in November, and it was released about a month after he was in office. In March. He got in January 22nd. It was released March 13th, so a little bit, about a month or so, a month and a half after he got in. And I covered the issues. I covered the facts. It's not that I'm ashamed when the media calls me a birther. It's just not accurate to say I'm whole hog committed. I'm somebody who made two films about Obama, accurately predicted in the first film exactly what he would do with stunning prescience, but it's not prescience. It's knowing the globalist program and who his advisors are and what the agenda is. I mean, it's like if I'm driving down I-35 and I'm driving through Temple and Waco, I know in 70, 80 miles, I'm going to hit Georgetown and then Austin. I mean, I'm following what they're doing. It's really not that hard. That's what's so frustrating about this. But to make a long story short, 3 years ago, I thought it was a distraction, but out of hundreds and hundreds of broadcasts we did, I did maybe five or six on it and got a lot of criticism. You've heard the calls. How dare you not be covering the birth certificate? How dare you not be, and I'm just like, look, I think it's suspicious. Nixon lied, Clinton lied, Bush Senior, read my lips. I mean, they lie. Clinton bombed aspirin factories to divert people from Monica Lewinsky. I get it, but I've got areas I can prove 100% that they're lying, and so why should I go with this? But over time, I did more research. Some of his records came out from Indonesia. He was Barry Sotero on there. He was listed by the government as Barry Sotero. That means he had to give up his citizenship. The rest of the records have been blocked. They're all secretive about his college records and high school records, and no one remembered him as a child, a little boy in Hawaii, and his mother's got this weird CIA history, and it's not just Barry Sotero. There's this other Indonesian name on records that we do have, and then the White House spent over $2 million fighting to release records, and one of the biggest issues was they released that receipt of a certificate that anybody can go to the health department and get a print off of, and it's simply saying that the Bureau of Vital Statistics federally says that there is a filing of a record for a birth certificate for that person. And the media said, this is the birth certificate. There is no such thing as a long form. This is made up. They're lying. This is the original. And everybody said, well, mine's got doctor's signatures on it. And all these boxes and the weight and the mother and the father and all this stuff. That's not what it is. And they said, shut up. That's it. For 2 years plus. I thought, well, that's suspicious. And then Corsi's book's coming out. You've got this big Democratic operative out there saying what people want to hear. Pro-socialist healthcare in the past. Pro-eminent domain. Big globalist. Casino owner. I mean, give me a break, folks. That's mob. Donald Trump. And he's out there running around and brings up this issue, and then right after he, quote, gets discredited when the fake birth certificate comes out, he then cusses a bunch, knowing that'll discredit him. He's an actor, and I came out and pointed that out at the time. And since then, what, Monday he dropped out. But he is a good actor. He was almost convincing me he was going to run for a while. My gut at first said, this is all a publicity stunt, and it turns out I've always got to go with my gut. But I've set the table with that background. I don't know if this is a giant psyop or whether he wasn't born in Hawaii or his real birth certificate has a different father listed. And Wayne Madsen was high-level NSA. Everything he's told me has ended up being true. And he won't give me his sources. Well, he's quite a character in person. Hung out with him a lot when he was here for 2 days. He said the word is he was here and said it the day before the birth certificate came out. He said, no, he was born in Hawaii. There's a different father. And then off air, he said, well, I can't really give the source or give more details because it will give up the source. And I mean, a day later, they released the birth certificate. And Madsen predicted they would do that as well. And now, of course, he's saying he was told 3 weeks before that they were. I had sources saying they were getting ready to very high level in D.C. and Chicago. We even had callers saying the same thing with their media sources in Chicago who were in media. Because these folks talk. People say, well, something this big, it would come out. It does come out. Just like ships came back at the Gulf of Tonkin and said it was staged. It was in the San Diego newspaper, but then people forgot where they read it, and it became an urban legend. It wasn't an urban legend. You know, generally, legends have some truth to them. But continuing here, Either they're putting this all out to make it a diversion and make the election about his eligibility because they know he really was born in America, and they think this is something to hype up, because then people don't look at the torture, the wars, the lobbyists, the banker insiders, the Patriot Act, all the things Democrats said they hated. Well, if you hate what Obama's doing, then you hated Bush. But if you hated Bush on his policies and you're a Democrat, you should hate Obama. But if you love Bush, you should love Obama if you're a mainline Republican, because rhetoric's different, but the actions are identical in the real world. So either it's a psyop to make this about this non-issue, and there's some evidence towards that that came out from the White House yesterday, or they are hiding something in his past. And with the Indonesia stuff and the records being covered up and his CIA background, I don't know. But it's important, and we're covering it because the system is pushing it out there for a reason. And so we have to analyze it. You know, we didn't just spend 2-3 weeks on bin Laden just because we knew that was a fake operation. It's everything connected to, why did they bring that out now domestically? Well, it's for the reelection campaign. He's going to run on killing bin Laden. But it's also about hyping up new terror attacks, and it's about framing Pakistan and having a pretext to occupy that country. So see, there's reasons they roll these things out. It's what they matrix in and connect to it. What are the spokes coming off from this? It's why, even though it's a propaganda event, within the propaganda event is the riddle to understand the plan and the next phase. So you have to study these very carefully. Now, it blew over a few weeks ago. A lot of polls showed people still don't believe he was born here, don't believe a word he says, because government's been caught lying so much in the past. I mean, if Nixon called Woodward and Bernstein in the start of Watergate and said, boys, I didn't have people break into that hotel, and they said, that's good enough for us, Mr. President. No, I mean, that's ridiculous. You don't just buy, and presidents were more trusted back in the 70s than they are now. Since when do we just, oh, you say there's WMDs in Iraq? It turns out they lied premeditatedly. Oh, you say you were born in Hawaii. You say all of these things. They lie, 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 lie. I mean, think of all the lies. Read my lips, no new taxes. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. They're legion. Now, something big happened. Multiple things happened yesterday, and we're going to cover it when we come back. Because Esquire will lose a lawsuit. I mean, there's no doubt. The WorldNet Daily gets the right lawyer. This is economic espionage 101. Definitely is going to damage WorldNet Daily as publishers. It's definitely a hoax meant to damage the book. And we're going to cover it when we come back. And it shows total desperation. And Esquire is a White House mouthpiece. Stay with us. We're going to break this down on the other side. Escape from the prison planet. Again, thank you for joining us. Okay, finishing up with this new big controversy. We got Dr. Corsi on tomorrow. Breaking, Esquire reported, Jerome Corsi's birther book pulled from the shelves. One day after the release of Where's the Birth Certificate, the case that Barack Obama is not eligible to be president, by Dr. Jerome Corsi, WorldNet Daily editor and chief executive officer Joseph Farah has announced plans to recall and pulp the entire 200,000 first printing run of the book, as well as announcing an offer to refund the purchase price to anyone who has already bought either a hard copy or electronic download of the book. Now, that's meant to just flood them through their merchant services and bank accounts with that. People will then think it's been offered and get mad when it's not offered. Stores will get calls and walk-ins. They will then pull it from the store shelves. It's just totally criminal. And this was not written in a satire section. It was written in politics news section by Mark Warren. Just unbelievably vicious. And again, they do hit pieces for the White House, but this is a desperation move. Why? If he's born in Hawaii, this is a real birth certificate. Why worry? Because I don't know where he was born. I don't want to talk about it. But when he puts a fake out, and it's just been, oh my gosh, the whole thing is fake. I've gone over it. We got a video coming out in a few hours breaking it down, the kerning, the computer changing it, the typewriter letters being identical. A typewriter strikes the ribbon, and everyone is different. Even if it's the same E or A or Z, it's like a snowflake or a fingerprint. The way it strikes, the way the ink blobs around the edge when the metal strikes the ribbon. Anybody who's had a typewriter knows that, but you blow it up, they're identical. This was done with a computer. And it was done to be fake, to be discovered. Or they're just so desperate and they didn't want to have an agency do it because they thought folks might blackmail the White House with it and it might get leaked that they use somebody down the hall. I don't know. The point is, it's fake. It's fake. It's fake. There's no doubt. This is so crazy. And so they had this article, and it goes out and says, in an exclusive interview, a reflective Farah, who wrote the book's foreword, they say they interviewed him. A reflective Farah, who wrote the book's foreword and also published Corsi's earlier best-selling work, Unfit for Command, Swift Boat Veteran, speaking out against John Kerry. And it goes on, I believe with all my heart that Barack Obama is destroying this country, and I will continue to stand against his administration at every turn. But in light of recent events, this book has become problematic and contains what I now believe to be factual inaccuracies. He's speaking for him, saying he interviewed him, a journalist in a prestigious magazine. He said this morning, I cannot in good conscience publish it and expect anyone to believe it. So, that's like saying Alex Jones admitted he committed murder. Alex Jones admits he lied all these years. Imagine if Esquire put out an article and said, we interviewed Alex Jones. He admits he injects heroin. He admits he's lied all these years. He admits he tortures little dogs. I mean, they are saying they interviewed the publisher who's printed hundreds of thousands of these, millions in investment. This could destroy him. And they say, it's being pulled, they want to refund your money, we talked to him. And it goes on. Esquire did this, ladies and gentlemen. And then hours and hours later, after national news picked it up, then they add that it's satire at the bottom. Not even at the top. Now, here's the WorldNet Daily article. National Mag publishes fabricated report attacking Corsi book. Esquire claims bestseller being disavowed by publisher pulled from shelves. Just unbelievable economic sabotage. That is espionage or economic sabotage. That's what espionage is, boys and girls. Now, continuing, what else came out yesterday? ABC News talking to the White House. They're going to sell Made in America T-shirts running on the fact that the birthers are discredited. So instead of running on the fact that Obama's lied about everything and is incredibly corrupt and that the economy's falling apart, instead they're going to run, ABC News reports, on this. So because they're going to run on it, they've got to continue to attack the fact that it's a fake birth certificate. Part of the reason for the shirts, a campaign official told ABC News, is the despite the president's release last month, the long-form birth certificate, I thought there wasn't one of those in existence. They didn't exist, remember? See the previous lies, like we're idiots and don't know there's a long-form? Conservative fact-checking author Jerome Corsi's book, Where's the Birth Certificate? The case that Barack Obama is not eligible to be president was published last week. And it goes on to say the White House is basically going to run on the birth certificate issue. And so they've come out with an announcement saying that Corsi and Farah have pled guilty to being, frauds when they didn't. And Obama's the fraud. The birth certificate's the fraud. Going to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, syndicated columnist, former Wall Street Journal editor, and of course, former head of policy department of Treasury under Reagan, here in a moment, just briefly finishing up with the birth certificate. I've not been a birther in the 3 years this has been out. I have interviewed some guests. I've looked at it. They're definitely covering up Obama's past. His mother's definitely CIA and above with the big foundations. He definitely had the name Barry Sotero. It's weird. But the fact that they did release this new one and it's been analyzed and it's clearly been shown to be fake is amazing. And Dr. Jerome Corsi is on tomorrow. And we've got that report up on PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com. Birther bombshell, Corsi to release evidence proving Obama certificate as fraudulent, a fraudulent composite. We've got a video in the next few hours going up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, a 10-minute report detailing the full spectrum of this information. And Joseph Ferris saying he's going to have to sue Esquire now because it wasn't a parody. They didn't say it was a parody. They didn't add it was satire. They came out in a serious report and said they interviewed Ferris and he was recalling the book and giving people's money back, which is economic espionage and a serious, serious attack, which shows they're desperate. And ABC News reports the White House is now planning to run on the birth certificate issue and putting out campaign T-shirts to be sold to raise money. So this issue is not going away. I wish it would, because I want to look at the issues with Obama. He might have been born on Mars, for all I care. At the end of the day, this guy's continuing the neocon agenda. We'll also get Dr. Paul Craig Roberts' take on Obama coming out and pushing all these revolutions and saying Israel needs to go back to its 67 borders. Ron Paul's out saying that there is a move to try to occupy Pakistan. I had General Gould on a few days ago. U.S. helicopter attacked an emplacement over there. It is certainly deteriorating very, very quickly. So that's all coming up. Now, the main reason that we have Dr. Paul Craig Roberts with us today is the whole Dominique Strauss-Kahn situation. And in national polls in France, fully 60% or higher, the lowest poll, 60%, believe this is a setup. Kahn was set in polls to handily defeat and was going to be running as the leader of the Socialist Party against Nicolas Sarkozy, who is a lapdog of the Anglo-American banking establishment. I'm not saying Bilderberg Group member Kahn's a good guy. He's a globalist, one-worlder as well. But it is suspicious that normally, you know, Al Gore, any of these guys can get away with murder. Bill Clinton, Juanita Broderick, all of it. But then magically this happens. The whole thing is suspicious. And Paul Craig Roberts has an article, The Strauss-Kahn Frame-Up, The American Police State Strides Forward. So we'll cover that first, then get his take on the whole OBL hoax. He very eloquently a few weeks ago with Paul Watson broke down some of the glaring issues. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Alex.
Good to have you with us. Let's get into the Dominique Strauss-Kahn. You seem pretty convinced here that there's some dirty shenanigans going on.
Well, I do. I am, because from the very beginning, the police, instead of doing as they are required to do and give a defendant the presumption of innocence, immediately began painting a picture of a guilty man. So from the very first announcement, the police have been trying to paint his guilt all over him, and it continues that way. And so when you see that, it's pretty much a giveaway that they intend to convict him. And there's too many things wrong with the story. One of the most astounding things is that the way they found him is that when he got to the airport, he realized he had left a cell phone and called the hotel and said, "I'm at John F. Kennedy Airport, and I think I've left my cell phone, and would you see if you can retrieve it?" Now, that doesn't go with the picture that the police put out of a rapist fleeing his crime and heading out of the country. And that was also the reason he was denied bail. The judge said, "Oh, he was fleeing the scene and had run on a plane, and we caught him just in the nick of time." Well, they didn't catch him. He called in and reported where he was. So it doesn't really make much sense that if you were fleeing from a crime scene, that you would then call the scene of the crime and tell them where you are. So there are just so many things about it. Now, we do know that that he was expected to be able to defeat Nicolas Sarkozy for the presidency of France in this upcoming election, and that Sarkozy is America's guy. We put him in there. It was American money and influence, and that another black mark against Strauss-Kahn is that he let the IMF issue a report recently that said that within 5 years, China would have surpassed the United States as the world's leading economic power. And now this hurts Washington's prestige and hurts its ability to bully people. The people say, well, if we can hold out long enough, they'll lose their some of their power. And so this also is a mark against him. And then I think a third mark is that he had scared the bankers because he speaks of the need to re-regulate the banking system, which is run amok. And he has also indicated that he was sympathetic with Joseph Stiglitz's view that the IMF should cease to be a weapon that the rich use against the poor, and that the kind of austerity programs that are imposed on poor people, as in Greece today, Ireland today, in order to bail out Wall Street, that just really doesn't fly. And so he had a whole number then of powerful enemies, and had predicted prior to his departure for the United States that he thought Sarkozy would set him up with a rape charge. Now, he didn't mean in America, in an American hotel. He was thinking in France that he would be presented with this type of smear in order to reduce his standing in the polls.
Yes, sir. Let me add a caveat there. I have BBC, Daily Mail, all the big French papers. He was on record saying they could set me up in a car park claiming I raped a woman. But that's not even the big key. I want you to speak to that. And then this, they admit that a campaign staffer of Sarkozy put out the tweet that he had been grabbed for raping this woman before it was even in the news.
Yes.
And before he was even arrested. And now they backtrack and said, well, we got a call from one of our operatives in the hotel. And it went further. The head spin doctor, and this is admitted,
right,
admits for Sarkozy, the big national Karl Rove over there, the equivalent of Karl Rove, admits that he put this out before it was even known. So whether he did it or not, or maybe she enticed or who knows, this is all red-handed that this was an intelligence operation.
Yes, I think that you're right. I cited that report from the Daily Mail and from Liberation in my column. And it is clear that is admitted somehow. The operative for Sarkozy against Strauss-Kahn knew before the New York police made the announcement. So that, of course, is more giveaway. So I think he'll be he'll have a hard time getting out of it, because if you look around, you know, the left wing will want to get him because he's a rich white guy, and the feminists will want to get him because they know that all men are always raping women, and there are just so many people that getting him is emotional satisfaction. It goes along with their agendas and emotional needs. And he's going to have a hard time, and it's quite clear too. To add to your point, Alex, that if he was actually serving the system, they wouldn't touch him. He would actually be able to rape somebody in broad daylight and get away with it in front of witnesses. So clearly he was seen as a threat, and he was just like Elliot Spitzer, and was eliminated. He was a threat to not just the banks, but I mentioned, to a wide variety of powerful interests. And the fact that such a powerful figure was destroyed indicates that he was seen as a threat, not as a servant of the system.
It definitely shows that there's a rift between the IMF and World Bank. Definitely illustrates that there is a fight going on right now. And we saw Merkel last year call the big private banks like JP Morgan and others, you know, crooks. They're trying to implode Europe. They're trying to implode the United States. They're completely predatory. I don't think at the end of the day, Dominique Strauss-Kahn is an angel. But at the same time, I clearly some branches of the ruling class realize that this predatory imploding of economies to consolidate them will end up killing the goose that lays the golden eggs.
Yeah. That's it. Of course, there's no doubt that the man is randy and likes the companionship of women. And that, of course, is also being used against him. And I think that, you know, even among the Soviet Communist Party, a social conscience developed among some members, leading to reforms and collapse. And so I wouldn't be surprised that there are people in the IMF who've had enough of squeezing and trampling the poor. At some point, some people are affected by that and reform themselves. And there is perhaps a struggle going on in the IMF, but I suspect that's now over. Because what this, it's not just the arrest, it's the way he is pronounced to be guilty before any evidence is in. I mean, no one's seen the maid. We assume she exists. And who else wants to take on that role and be faced with similar treatment? So it's a huge warning shot to reformers to shut up and get back in line, or you'll be next.
Expanding on that, it certainly sends a message across the board, and we dovetail it with the Indiana Supreme Court ruling last week. And I read the judge's statement in the winning ruling, saying police can now enter your home for any reason, including no reason at all. That's a quote. And the U.S. Supreme Court said they can listen at your door. Do they hear sounds that could be hiding drugs, ruffling, or any sounds at all? They can come in without warrants. And they're now announcing, yes, we're going to continue to expand sneak and peeks and non-terror related, and that now even local jurisdictions are using it outside of the feds. I mean, it's just a complete abolition of everything. And you see, whether Khan is guilty or innocent, if he's not given due process, he has to be set free. Better 10 guilty men go free than one innocent man go to prison. That's always been the maximum of liberty and common sense. And there is a war, a conscious war. I have an Indiana sheriff saying we're now going to do door-to-door gun searches of homes. We no longer need warrants. That they're announcing their avarice-filled, tyrant-filled desire to run wild over us, Dr. Roberts.
Yes, the Fourth Amendment's gone. In fact, you know, look, Alex, this is the subject of my book, The Tyranny of Good Intentions, that went through two editions and a number of printings, that we've lost the protection of law. The constitutional amendments that can comprise the Bill of Rights are simply eroded. I'm sure you're aware that of the recent reports from Tennessee television stations about the police in Tennessee stopping traffic on I-40 and taking everybody's money on the grounds that if you have cash, it's an indication that you just sold drugs and that's drug money. And the reports are that the various police jurisdictions are almost coming to blows between themselves over who gets to disrupt this traffic and take the money. And one of the small jurisdictions has already seized $1 million from motorists. And they go out there and just have blanket traffic stops and go through people's wallets, take their money. This is happening right now. And And I can remember in my book, I tell the case of when this was happening in Florida a number of years ago. So you're right, the police, there's really no restrictions any longer on police, what they do. They're unaccountable. And there's no real inclination to hold them accountable. The conservative war on crime has unleashed police and created a monster. And it's very interesting that the Supreme Court, by an 8-1 vote, gave even more power to the police, powers that you just described, because they can say, oh, we heard somebody flushing the toilet, so that meant the drugs were going down the toilet, so we had the right to bust in. So there's no longer any constraints, and people just seem to be at ease with this. They don't seem to be.
And now they're announcing the austerity. In Europe, they're going after private pension funds, 100% your money. They're now telling us to get rid of and cut the public pension funds here, but don't stop any of the banker bailouts or corporate welfare. We're going into austerity. The ruling class knows they've committed all these crimes, and they've decided to protect themselves and continue on by consciously setting up a police state. How do we counter this?
I don't really know, Alex. But you're certainly right. That's what's happening. Look, can you remember a decade or two back, the junk bond king, Michael Milken?
Yeah.
Well, he had done absolutely nothing, though everyone thinks he was convicted of insider trading. That's false. That was a rumor that Giuliani put
out. Stay there, Dr. Roberts. We're going to come right back and finish that story. Get a brief update on the latest bin Laden fables. They've now admitted just the whole story's fake up one side and down the other. But so what? From the grave, he says he agrees with the revolutions of the Middle East that are U.S. Funded. Amazing. We'll be right back with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Stay with us. Look, folks, if you're amazed by our decline into absolute despotism, don't be. The founders pointed it out. It's historical fact. Tyranny is the norm. And we're going to get a particularly nasty version of tyranny because we're so naive, because we're Americans and it can't happen here. I mean, the police don't secretly all over the country take $100, $1,000 out of your wallet. Just no drugs, no arrest. They publicly do it. Public schools don't watch kids at home over their government laptops in the shower or in the bed. Secretly, they brag about it. The TSA doesn't secretly stick their hands down your child's pants. They do it publicly. So there's an open breaking of the will happening, but I see a huge awakening happening, and tyranny will just continue until it finally collapses. Dr. Roberts, in closing, always great to have you. Appreciate your wonderful articles you write for InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and thousands of other great sites out there, and your tireless dedication to liberty. I was on vacation for a couple of days, but listening to you while on the Texas beach with Paul Watson, just laying out the bin Laden situation. We've only got about 3 minutes left. Any other points on that subject?
Yes, Alex. You know, a very important point is that there's been no White House ceremony with the president conveying medals on these heroic SEALs who captured and killed the world's most dangerous man. Now, what president would miss a public relations opportunity like that? It's just unbelievable.
Or the body, or throwing it in the ocean, or a photo.
Yes, yes, of course. But we've already covered that and mentioned that. But this is something I've not seen anyone say anything about, and I didn't stick it in my columns. But surely, with the SEALs' triumphant return, they would have been awarded medals in the White House by the president before a national TV audience.
And they would have retired that group of SEALs. They say, well, they're so secretive in their missions, you can't see them. He would have at least had the secret ceremony with them being brought in and then coming out and thanking them. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Listen, they wouldn't, if he would sacrifice the SEALs for the publicity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now some people say, oh, well, they had to hide the seals because these brave men would be marked by Al-Qaeda and terminated. Really, I really believe that Al-Qaeda is going to penetrate the bases and get the seals. I think that is another giveaway. Now, you may know as well that recently the Pakistani news agency, the equivalent to the BBC in Pakistan, put out a news report from eyewitnesses whom they identified and had speaking on camera that there were three helicopters, only one landed. And 12 people got out, went in the house, came back, and the people got in the helicopter, and as it lifted off, it exploded, and every man was killed. There were dead bodies everywhere, pieces of bodies.
And that's exactly how they operate. That's exactly what they would do. Send the SEALs out on a drill, blow it up, and then say they got bin Laden. I mean, of course they're going to kill the witnesses. I mean, that's the only way that they operate it. That's standard.
Well, you know, it's hard to know what's true and what's not true. It's hard to know why the Pakistan would put out a false story like that. We've got no way of knowing. But what we do know is that nobody in the American media asked about it or looked into it or said, could anything like this have happened? Is this the reason there's no body? Is this the reason there are no SEALs getting medals? I mean, what? So who knows? But there's so many things that we just overlook. So much potential evidence, different explanations, and they never even get into the public's consciousness.
Now, we're told just believe whatever government tells you, even though they have a history of congenital lying. Paul Craig Roberts, thank you so much for spending time with us. Look forward to speaking to you in the near future.
Same here, Alex.
We'll be right back with Dr. Steve Pachinik on the other side. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got Dr. Jerome Corsi joining us tomorrow. He says he's got the proof and is going to be breaking it tomorrow. That the birth certificate is a group of composites. We're working on getting Steve Pachinik on the show. I talked to him yesterday, and he said he was set for 2 o'clock Eastern. That's right now. And we'll work on getting him on the show to talk about a host of issues, like banned terror group seeks U.S. rebirth. I know Pachinik says he listens to the show off and on, so if he's listening right now, Doc, your phone's... sounds like it's not disconnected, but it goes right to voicemail. Might have been knocked off the hook. That happens some at my house, or a cordless phone gets left on. That happens sometimes with guests. But he wanted to talk about this article, Banned Terror Group Seeks U.S. Rebirth. An Iranian exile group, once called an ally with Saddam Hussein, has enlisted former top U.S. officials, including heads of the CIA, FBI, and Joint Chiefs of Staff and politicians from both parties to try to get it removed from the State Department's terror list. And it gets into the Mujahideen. When we come back from break, and we'll go a little bit into overdrive next hour, Dr. Steve Pachinik will be joining us coming up here in about 5 minutes. In other news, you heard Dr. Paul Craig Roberts earlier. I don't like Dominique Strauss-Kahn. He's the head of the Socialist Party. He's a big Bilderberg group globalist. He had been splitting with other counterparts in the IMF, with Nicolas Sarkozy. He was favored to beat Sarkozy. And it is being reported by the Mail and a bunch of other papers. In fact, they admit it here that the top spin doctor, the Karl Rove type for Nicolas Sarkozy, admits that they knew about the fact that they were about to arrest him before it even happened. And another staffer for Sarkozy put a Twitter out before he was even arrested, or as they were going to get him at the airport, and claimed that they had sources at the hotel. So you see the intelligence operation all over this. There's just so much action happening right now because all of this stuff is starting to come to a head. And you have Esquire, this known mouthpiece for the Democrats, boldly boldly coming out and putting out a hoax article yesterday and not telling people it was a hoax till later in the afternoon, saying they talked to Joseph Farah, owner of WorldNet Daily and publisher of Where's the Birth Certificate, that he was apologizing, that the book was a lie, and that he was going to recall the book and give everybody's money back when the book is a bestseller. That's economic espionage to cause bookstores to have a run of people trying to get their money back so that they then pull the book from the store shelves. I mean, that is a super desperate, dirty trick. If the birth certificate's discredited, if that's all put to bed, why do that? In about an hour or so, we have a video going up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com that breaks all this down and shows all the documentation for it. So that is coming up as well. We do have Dr. Steve Pachinik with us, and we're going to come back from break and talk to him about a host of issues. Obama's speech today that Dr. Pachinik talked about last week that was upcoming, basically saying that Israel's got to give up most of the land it's taken since 67, while at the same time telling us that these are great freedom-fighting forces in the Middle East, even though a lot of them are al-Qaeda in Sudan, in Libya, in other areas. And then a magic bin Laden tape comes out from the grave agreeing with this, saying these are great freedom fighters. I mean, this is baloney. And so it's all coming up with Dr. Steve Pachinik on the other side. We also have the Pakistani military coming out saying if more helicopters fly into their country, they're going to open up on them. We already had a shootout and people being wounded on the Pakistani side Monday with a helicopter. It's all coming up with Steve Pachinik on the other side. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we'll undoubtedly at least go 30 minutes into overdrive next hour so we can take your calls for Dr. Steve Pachinik. This is now, what, his fifth visit with us in the last 2 weeks. Dr. Steve Pachinik was Deputy Assistant Secretary under Henry Kissinger of State, Cyrus Vance, James Baker. His expertise includes foreign policy, international crisis management, and psychological warfare. He served the presidential administrations of Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush in the capacity of the Deputy Secretary. In 74, Pachinik joined the U.S. State Department as a consultant to restructure its Office of Prevention of Terrorism. In 76, Pachinik was Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Management. StevePachinik.com. He also co-authored quite a few of the big Tom Clancy books. He was the Jack Ryan character. That's on record, what they modeled that after. And he also, of course, is, you go to IMDb, International Movie Database, all the films and TV shows that he's been behind. And we're going to cover the waterfront today. I said, what do you want to talk about? And he said, well, I want to get into GM with our money financing a celebration of the Communist Party in China. That's worse than New York lighting up the Empire State Building in the Communist Chinese colors. He wants to get into this report. Banned terror group seeks U.S. rebirth. That's in the Wall Street Journal. He also said he wants to talk about Schwarzenegger and the fact that everybody knew he had this son. I was told this by Hollywood people. I was told this by famous bodybuilders that contacted me whenever I had the website ArnoldExposed.com. We still have it. But when he was talking about running for president, we put that out in part of my film. The Rise of the Police State covers that. He wants to get into the Dominique Strauss-Kahn thing, all of it, and how this ties into intelligence operations today. Dr. Pachinik, good to have you back with us.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show, and I was so irate as a citizen of the United States to read this in the Washington Times on May 18th, which said Picket, GM sponsors and celebrates soon-to-be-released Chi-Com. That's Chinese Communist propaganda film. And for your audience, what this really means is that the head of GM, a gentleman by the name of Daniel Akerson, who was trained at the U.S. Naval Academy and worked his way up as a lieutenant on a destroyer and then became CEO thanks to our Treasury Department, has decided to spend our money. That's my money, your money, ladies and gentlemen, the United States government, where we own 33% of General Motors, to finance and sponsor a propaganda film. That's a communist, Chinese communist propaganda film explaining how great the Chinese Communist Party is since its birth 90 years. Now, let's differentiate between the Chinese people who have done a wonderful job of making their nation grow, who have resisted this repressive Chinese country, have used their Twitter, things like Sina, S-I-N-A, and we've used our Twitters, and I've used fax machines to help them in Tiananmen Square. And in turn, this traitor, American traitor, Daniel Akerson, who's hired by us to fund GM, which we sponsored, has gone out of his way to sponsor this film called The Birth of the Chinese Communist Party. Now, for those of you who may not know what the birth of the Chinese Communist Party, it is built on repression, death, suppression, and the killing of millions of Chinese.
No one has killed more, not the Nazis, not the Soviet communists. The Chinese government admits, under Mao, they say 86 million. Our State Department says 64 million. The issue here is you can pull up the films they shot themselves of old women, children being lined up, their heads being blown off. And this shows who runs our government. By the way, you have the...
Well, you're right, Alex, because this gentleman, Daniel Akerson, was a member of which group? The Carlyle Group out of Washington. Once again, that is... been indicted for all kinds of malfeasant experiences and unusual activities financially. But more importantly, he was appointed by a Treasury Department. So this is what I'm asking the Chinese citizens to do. Go on Sina, S-I-N-A, and Twitter against this issue. And I want the Americans to Twitter to cease and desist this funding of the Chinese propaganda film. Now, the communists, remember, Chinese Communist Party killed our American troops in North Korea. They initiated the war in Korea. They assisted in the Vietnam War. They assisted, they slaughtered millions, what you said, 60 to 80 million in the Cultural Revolution. They then went on to Cambodia to assist the ordered genocide of the killing of the Cambodians themselves without any apologies. And then they go forth in Tiananmen Square to suppress their own people. And now they have the Jasmine revolutions. That means the young people who want to protest, the truck drivers, the cab drivers. And I say to our Chinese friends and our Chinese colleagues, the citizens of China who are consuming our products, go on Sina, S-I-N-A, and Twitter your disappointments. Go into the streets and refuse to accept this. And then I say to our American colleagues, go Twitter and tell your congressmen and senators to stop this egregious anti-American behavior and to stop funding Chinese propaganda.
Well, it shows just how insane.
I'm sorry.
No, it just shows how insane this White House is, running GM and then using our tax money to finance something worshiping Mao Zedong. We have all these restaurants opening called Mao's. The college kids are wearing Mao shirts. These could not be bigger, useful idiots. Mao Zedong, the Chinese government even admits, did not bathe, had sex with about six women a day, was a degenerate piece of arrogant filth, and this murdering blob of pus is being worshipped with our tax money. It just shows how completely reprobate the federal government has become. They are a pack of criminals worshipping another criminal.
That's correct. I think this is really criminal activity, considering that this man, Akerson, and particularly Cadillac Division of GM and GM, is assisting and abetting a entity, the Chinese Communist Party, not the Chinese people, the Chinese Communist Party, that initiated a war and killed and assisted in killing thousands of our troops in war throughout, and then through Vietnam War, and then through the war in Indonesia and in Cambodia. And this has not stopped, and they're killing their own people. So it is reprehensible. But once again, we're going back to the fact that we have civilian leaders who are in cahoots with your big politicians. Politicians didn't stop this. This had to come out of the Washington Times. Not one Republican stood up. Not one Democrat stood up. Not Mike Levin, a senator from Michigan, to say cease and desist. There is absolutely no political consciousness in our country or sense of patriotism where there's a sense of what's appropriate and not appropriate. This is totally, completely inappropriate. And borders on treason.
Well, they're doing it on purpose. They're doing it on purpose to set the precedent, just like TSA groping one-year-old, you know, children and grabbing their genitals in front of their parents, then get away with that. The sky's the limit. Now, I want to just go through these host of issues that you've raised. Now we've had another week in the aftermath. We've had a U.S. helicopter go into Pakistan, a shootout. General Hamid Ghul said there's no doubt now that there's a move towards starting some new war with them. Ron Paul has come out today and said the scuttlebutt is. There is moves to in Congress and in discussions about some type of occupation of Pakistan. It's now come out in the big Pakistani papers that that reported CIA agent was trying to get uranium and other weapons to al-Qaeda groups they control to frame Pakistan. And General Ghul said, look, we don't want to be driven into the arms of the Russians or the Chinese, but that's what this is doing. And during the break, when I first got you on, you said there's no doubt now that that's what this raid is about internationally. Dr. Pechenik, I mean, you worked over there. You know, you met bin Laden. You worked in overthrowing the Russians, driving them out. What's your view on what's happening now that we have more hindsight?
Let me say what I said a week ago and all. I go back to, and I go to the singular individual. I go to the respect of the Secretary of Defense, Gates, who said it very clearly today. We have embarrassed the Pakistani military. It's enough. And we should go on. The issue that happened with Pakistan and the actual raid, we're not talking about Osama bin Laden. I told you he's been dead for 10 years. But the raid was a psyops operation to basically embarrass the ISI into basically getting out of the business of controlling the government of Pakistan, whose president is Gilani. Gilani and the civil government in Pakistan cannot handle the Inner Service Intelligence Agency. Yesterday and the day before, the head of ISI resigned and saying, I can no longer function. What I think this raid is about, I was not told, was, and I think Gates has said it very clearly, that we have embarrassed the Pakistani ISI, that basically they want a civilian government in Pakistan. China has moved in effect, to help the Pakistani, but I do not believe, again, I will reiterate, I do not believe we will occupy Pakistan. We do not have the capability. We don't have the desire. And once again, Gates reported, and correctly so, and we've known this for a long time in the national security arena, we cannot fight 2.5 wars anymore. Our force structure in America was geared for 2.5 wars. That is, one war in the Atlantic, one war on the Pacific, and then a half a war somewhere wherever we need it. We cannot do that anymore because of budget constraints. And we go back to the key issue, Alex, as you said repeatedly, our biggest national security problem is not Osama bin Laden, who's been dead, or al-Qaeda, which is a Haqqani group. It's really that our debt and our ceiling and the fact that we are financially in serious trouble. There isn't one general or one intelligence officer that will disagree with what I'm about to say, that our debt and our financial crisis is really the national security problem. The issue in Pakistan was that the ISI Pakistani did not want to control the Haqqani group, that's H-A-Q-Q-A-N-I, who basically have created al-Qaeda representatives in Afghanistan and have been using their surrogates and members of the Haqqani group to really incite a confrontation, not only with American troops in Afghanistan, which the Americans said cease and desist, but with India. It's the issue.
All right, stay there, Dr. Pechenik. I want to come back with a host of other issues straight ahead. Dr. Steve Pechenik is our guest. We're covering the waterfront today. I wanted to, in this short segment, Doctor, and we'll get into a bunch of other issues, look at Obama's speech that he just finished up about an hour ago. For those that just joined us, the president came out and, well, here's the headline. Palestinian state must be based on 1967 borders. That's just more talk. And they put it into the process, status quo. But he went on to say these revolutions are great, these revolutions are wonderful, and named Libya, where we know it's Western-backed, and the core group in there is al-Qaeda. And we have former al-Qaeda leaders on record who were fighting U.S. troops in Iraq. Regardless of what you think of these wars, this is a schizophrenic policy that they're engaged in. You know, we're fighting al-Qaeda in Pakistan, but this is good al-Qaeda over here. But meanwhile, right on time, Osama bin Laden speaks from the grave. Another audio tape from the cache they found, over a million documents where they can just make up and project whatever they want, Dr. Pechenik. And he agrees that these uprisings are great. What is the whole point of this obviously latest new fake tape being put out?
Well, the new fake tape is, once again, the issues I said. Osama bin Laden has been dead for 10 years. So basically what I think their point is, as the raid was, or whatever the raid was constituted, was to basically say to those al-Qaeda members around the world, of those who still fear the United States or might fear the United States, that there is information in here that we can pursue you, we know where you are, and at the same time, it's intended to embarrass the Pakistani ISI, Inter Service Intelligence Agency, to say, you know, this is where the man lived. He lived right near your military institute, and how come you didn't do anything about it? It's a way of our pulling out of Pakistan, not to create a war. We don't need a war now. We can't fight a war. And literally try to transfer the power into the civilian area. But what you said about Obama is that he is not in control of the foreign policy, nor would you expect him to be in control. Many of his members of the national security are civilians who had very little experience. Donlan, as I said before, is a lobbyist for Fannie Mae. That's your national security advisor. And the one he relies on is a guy named Dennis Ross, who worked for me 20, 30 years ago. Totally ineffectual individual who worked for both Republicans and Democrats, has no history of any accomplishments other than self-aggrandizement and the ability to egregiously get himself into situations where more talented people than himself, like Danny Kurtzer and others who worked for Bush, and other Aaron Miller and others, people I know, are far more talented than he is. So you have very incompetent, exceedingly incompetent individuals, including Hillary Clinton, who really has no idea what the national security issues are, nor the strategy. The fact that the young kids are protesting is not an issue that was initiated by the United States. Tunisia was spontaneous. Egypt was assisted by the U.S. government, but we had military-to-military contact. So I do congratulate our military on that, particularly our army, where they did maintain control over the Egyptian riots and were able to maintain a stabilized situation. But in fact, what remains in Egypt and in Libya and elsewhere is really military force structures. In other words, whatever is related to our military. The real issue for us in right now is Syria is toppling over. Syria has never been a real ally of us. Bashar Assad is a physician. He's an ophthalmologist. I was interrogated by Syrian officials a couple of years ago for 5-6 hours.
No, I saw in major news reports that even previous to that, don't you know, was it the senior or the junior Assad?
The senior, I knew the senior Assad, whom I had worked against repeatedly over 20, 30 years. He was a vicious, exceedingly dangerous man who had created a lot of terrorist episodes, and every time we came close to a peace treaty in the Middle East, he could create incidences where people were just killed, and he initiated wars against Israel, and basically was a really evil man. He killed 10 to 20,000 so-called Muslims in Hama, and he had no qualms about it. Now, his son is very ineffectual. The people who are protesting, I encourage them. They're in Aleppo, Hama, Homs, Latakia. These are wonderful people. 30% of Syria, country where most people don't realize, are Christians. The rest are Sunni, Shiite, Druze. The northern part of Syria is Kurds. The Kurds are now separating from Iraq, which I agree with. The Kurds are separating from Syria, which I agree with. And so Bashar Assad has to go. He must go. And I do agree with the administration putting on an embargo on it, but we should pull our ambassador out, and our military will not be engaged in this. This is an issue that Bashir Assad has to deal in.
All right, stay there, Doc. We got to go to break. We're going to come back and continue looking at geopolitical issues. Then you want to talk about Schwarzenegger.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are here live. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Pachinik will be with us at least 30 minutes into the next hour. We have a whole cornucopia of issues I want to get into. Don't forget, listeners, that we've got Jesse Ventura's new New York Times best-selling. It's number 4. 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read, along with the excellent new book, Big Brother, the Orwellian Nightmare Come True by Mark Dice. Both of these discounted. When you get them, you can get one of my documentary films on DVD of your choice absolutely free at Infowars.com. Also, we have a new film that we're carrying called The American Dream. It's a super high-quality animated documentary about the history of the private banking cartel, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the whole system. Excellent documentary, The American Dream, Fighting the Lying Liars, One Stupid Lie at a Time. Excellent new film that we're carrying, available at Infowars.com. Continuing here with our sponsors, eFoodsDirect.com. They have a current special, buy three, get any fourth item food pack free. Get prepared. Tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, man-made disasters, economic collapse, war, even unemployment are all possible and could happen at any time. And I believe in storable food, firearms, you name it. Disasters come in many shapes and sizes, but the one constant is they happen suddenly without warning. This is super high quality, all produced in America food. And for a limited time, you can buy three of any of their packs and get a fourth free. For Alex Jones listeners, you want to go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. That's eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, or give them a call at 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. Okay, going back to Dr. Steve Pachinik and moving quickly with him, Doc, let me just get this out of the way right now, because we really know your information on Bin Laden is accurate. Your whole history and all the black ops and overthrow of tyrants and assassinations. I mean, the more I learn about you, you are not telling people actually all of your considerable exploits. It's actually the opposite. So you're more than meets the eye. You're more than what you even say you are, so we know why you're the model for the Tom Clancy character, Jack Ryan. But I've had people I also respect on, like Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, people like Joel Skousen, and they're intrigued by what you say, and they have no doubt about your overall info. Some of their questions mirror what listeners have said, especially Skousen's, and that is, how can you say the government is evil and stage 9/11 and the evidence is legion? Or how can you sit there and then talk about them staging this new raid and say that that's when it's gone bad, when, who you work for, Henry Kissinger, George Herbert Walker Bush. I mean, these are people, you mentioned China earlier. They were involved opening up China. And folks can argue, well, that's opening them up so then they can be changed into a free market system. I mean, I understand all the arguments. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Basically it's the statement of you come from that power structure and from this secret system. And are you saying that things just went bad in 2001, or why are you going public, or what is the point of this? I mean, I think I'm encapsulating their question.
Yeah, I understand. People are wondering who I am, what I am. Who I am is not as important, although you've said it. I'm not interested in self-aggrandizement. They want to read my books, they're more than happy to. I'm really not interested in going to TV or anything else. The reason I went on your show, and I kept saying it, is I lived in a world which was a gray zone, and because of my loyalty to my country, remember, to the country, And one of the statements that I make a point of is, my country, right or wrong, I will still defend my country and my Constitution. I do not care who is in the office of the presidency. I care about the office of the presidency and the Constitution and those men and women who fight for it. So if I worked for Henry Kissinger, I was more than happy the next day to protest the war in Vietnam on the streets. If I worked for Senior Bush, I was more than happy to protest what he said. Only in America, this is what your public has to understand, only in America can one work for a system and at the same time criticize the system. I can't tell you how important that is. This is not all or nothing. Every country throughout history has had to hide behind a bodyguard of lies. That's the nature of national security. But when those bodyguard of lies are inflicted upon the public, that is a 9/11 or an LBJ pulling the Gulf of Tonkin, or stand down under the Kennedys going into a war all over the world. Then it's the point where guys like me, who are American citizens, it doesn't matter what my background is, that's an issue for people to say, well, is he credible or not? Is he a member of the CFR? Yeah, I'm a member of the CFR. I'm also a member of the Association of Former Intelligence Officers and National Military. And what I'm trying to say is, in our government, there are so many people who are both in the intelligence community and the military community who feel like I do. They are American citizens. You have men and women who are fighting all over the world for reasons they may not understand and they don't agree with, but still they serve our country. The people who do not serve our country are the people who are in the process business, which you've been talking about, and that's the bankers, the lawyers, the people who feel that process is more important than product, and that defending our country is more important, that not defending our country and not going into our country to serve it is more important than their self-aggrandizement.
Basically, what you're saying is... So, you've been an insider.
Let me say something. I come out as an American citizen who says, I follow the Constitution and I defend the Constitution with my life. I serve my country, right or wrong, I still serve it. But I'm not afraid to die. I've been sent into missions abroad many, many times where I've offered and volunteered. But at the same time, I have never been afraid to tell Jimmy Carter, get the hell out of my crisis center. I have told other presidents to get out of the way because I've got 500 hostages, and they've done it. And I'm not afraid to put myself on the line if I have to save lives. And if that means I've got to save what I think is the American democracy of public, I'm not that grandiose. I'm not a Newt Gingrich or any one of these sociopaths. I'm willing to say it's enough. But at the same time, I do not throw out the baby with the bathwater. We have intelligence operatives and we have intelligence generals who are incredible. They have 4 or 5 master's degrees. They have PhDs. These are men who've been in combat, who've served our country and are watching the civilians spoiling our country. And those are the men and women I address. I address our citizens who have 2 jobs and 3 jobs, or Alex Jones, who comes out on his own and repeatedly is willing to be attacked and be called a conspirator or paranoid. I mean, all the adjectives that I receive, I don't care about that. What I care about is to say, yeah, I'm a member of all these things. I don't necessarily attend them. I'm also a member of the Red Carpet Lounge at United, but doesn't mean I always go there. But what I will not tolerate is when the American government, the government per se, will attack its own people, will denigrate our capabilities in terms of our ability to be productive and to be able to make a living because we're entrepreneurs and because we don't want to be controlled by the government.
Well, let me add a point here. I mean, regardless, you were right about the bin Laden already being dead after you came on my show.
I've been right about many things. It's all not an issue whether I'm right and wrong. The real issue, Alex, is what is the American public going to do? I've been right about 9/11. I was right it was a stand down and a false flag. I teach at the War College every year teaching that. I was right about anybody you want to say. It's not about being right. When a physician tells you you've got cancer, believe me, I don't want to be right. The question is, what do you want to do? And the answer is, if you do nothing and we go over the same thing and I repeat, listen, we've got cancer in this country. It is is a disaster. We have to clean it out. This president is not qualified to be in charge, but we don't need a revolution actively. You've got to have a system that's changed, because you're going to have that president again. I don't care what you say and do. And the next one, in turn, will be a Republican, because the system is fixed as long as you have Electoral College. Being right is not what I'm interested in. It's what is the American public going to do and stand up for their rights. If they decide they don't want to stand up for their rights, they decide they don't want to put anybody in prison for 9/11, that's their decision, not mine.
Well, I admire your courage coming out 9+ years ago saying 9/11 was an inside job and going over evidence. And you know, now saying you're willing to talk to a grand jury, and how do we ever expect people from the power structure to do the right thing and have the courage you have if when they come out we say, well, they're from the system? And that's not what Roberts was saying, just to some callers and, you know, to a certain extent, Scouse. And I understand his question. Roberts was just saying, well, why doesn't he go ahead basically and tell us who this general is? Because, you know, then he'll be a lot safer. And they won't come killing, but then you've added that you've got mutually assured destruction. You've got stuff on them waiting to be released if something happens to you.
I'm not worried about it. Let's forget who Pechenik is. As you said, I'm not interested in who I am or what I am. Now, this is not an issue of that. This is an issue. Does the American public understand that this is going on? If I can tell you Osama bin Laden has been dead for 10 years and no one in the national security area refuted that statement. Nobody. If I can tell you it's a stand down, 9/11, not one person said in the national security area that that was wrong. The issue isn't about Steve Pechenik and whether I'm afraid of my life. The issue is, what do you expect from your politicians who are egregiously spending our money, wasting our money, who really are sitting there basically in a collusive relationship? The word is collusion, my dear friend. That is, they help each other. Nothing has changed in our democracy. We do not have a democracy. We have a republic. And the issue, does the American public want to stand for a democracy and have a third party and demand that their money not go to the GMs who are sponsoring Chinese propaganda, not going to presidents who have to fly all around the country, the world, do nothing, not to sponsor presidents who are spending $1 billion, but to really address the issues of the working class, teachers who make very low salaries, doctors who have no jobs and reimbursement, so on and so forth. It is not my burden now, my friend. I come on the show and I'm willing to sacrifice my life. That's not the issue. The issue isn't even Alex Jones. The issue is the American public. At which point are they disgusted?
No, I agree with you.
They create a nonsensical Tea Party where Sarah Palin stands up, or some other bozo, and in a song and dance routine where they co-opt all kinds of issues that are not relevant to the American public, and we have two parties that intermingle. There's nothing there. So America has to decide, are we going into a peaceful second revolution where we're addressing less federal government, we're addressing local issues of transportation, jobs? We have no jobs. Where does the American public want to talk about the unemployment, which may be up to 18 million people, when the American press could care less about it? They want to sell papers. The TV want to sell papers. What we have to worry about is, where is the jobs, my friend? Where is our productivity? Stop whining about the bankers. The bankers have to go to jail. Not one banker went to jail. So instead of the American public continuously being in a rut of saying, you know, why this and why that, let's go back to the original American spirit, where we went in with an entrepreneurial desire. We created new jobs. We created new industries. We went forth irrespective of what our government said.
No, I hear you.
I'm sorry.
No. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. And the fact is, it overall does become a distraction from the bin Laden fable and from the 9/11 false flag.
That's what they want you to do. They want you to be distracted from the key issues. I mean, the issue of, you know, we have really important issues. Our economy, as you said, is going downhill. We're turning around just slightly now. China has been in an economic war with the United States. Does people understand what that means? That means that China has basically been in Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, undercutting everything we've done, every other country has done, and what are we going to do?
And we have traitors inside the government that have been bought off by these foreign lobbyists, the Chinese in particular, selling us out. And I want to speak to that later, but now I want to shift gears into some of the other topics you brought up.
Dominique
Strauss-Kahn, how does that integrate in with these private intelligence networks and Schwarzenegger? You talked about the fact that for decades, and now it's coming out that he has multiple love children. I know Hollywood folks that told me this years ago and said he's got one with his maid. Boom. Years later, they were right.
Schwarzenegger in and of himself is not as important as the PSYOPs narrative of the politician who's married to the so-called victim, Maria Shriver. That collusive element, let's use the word again, collusion, that means people working together, is true for the Clintons, it was true for the Kennedys. It's a storyline that goes throughout our entire politics, whether Republican or Democrat, where the issue of family values comes in and a new narrative is created so the American public, whether Republican, on the right or the left, buys into this garbage, this absolute nonsense. Schwarzenegger, you know, I don't know the gentleman. I worked in Hollywood. I had heard that he's abusive, whether he's physically abusive or emotionally abusive. That's for reporters to decide. Whether he was on the list of one of the biggest clients for Heidi Fleiss, who ran a prostitution house, and you see many of her prostitutes in a famous film that Columbia releases.
The point is they use this for blackmail. Everybody knew. Why are they bringing it now? Continue.
I have no. They brought it now because I think there was a tipping point. I have no idea. He could never get reelected. He's going back into the movie business. He's a very shrewd businessman. You have to admire his business. But this Maria Shriver notion that a wife of a politician did not know that her husband has been fornicating for the past 20 to 30 years is absolute nonsense. And she is coming out of the Kennedy family where you have a genetic history of this fornication. So this is not a victim. This is not a poor woman. You're talking about a sadomasochistic relationship that serves her narrative. She wanted to be on the TV show. She wants her own presence, as the way Hillary Clinton did in an abusive relationship with Mr. Clinton, who, by the way, why do you think Hillary never became president in running with Obama? The real issue wasn't Hillary was either better or worse than Obama. Nobody knew who Obama was. The key question at the time of her running was this question that was posed to me by a Democrat. And the question was, can Hillary win the election if everybody knows that Bill Clinton was still screwing around in California? And my answer was categorically no. So you have it on both sides. You have a woman who's compromised by a man, Schwarzenegger, and you have a woman who's talented in her own ways, Hillary Clinton, and compromised by Bill Clinton, whose narcissism and ego is very equivalent to Schwarzenegger. So what you have is a dynamic of narcissism, entitlement, and the ability to be abusive in both relationships.
All right, Doc, stay there.
American public, let me get this straight. The key is that we're paying for this unnecessarily. We're paying a lot of money to cover up for their staffs, for the nonsense, for the spinning. And the American public is sick and tired of this. And all we want to do is get our money back, get some candidate who has nothing to do with the issue of sex.
Stay there, Doc. We got a break. But there's also the PSYOP that the media would keep it secret all these years. The issue is, if I was contacted by multiple famous bodybuilders whenever I put out a film, part of a film exposing Schwarzenegger, talking about, hey, he's got a son with the maid, he's got another kid with this lady, here's her name, she's a blonde, now you see it in the news, I was told it by Hollywood people, none of this is even a secret. The women visiting Schwarzenegger every day. But the system allows that, so then Schwarzenegger is compromised. And now we have Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who I'm not a fan of him, being a big globalist, really the elite leader of the Socialist Party in France. But come on, first it's rape, now it's attempted rape. The cops are basically saying he's guilty up front, which is always a bad sign. Now we learned that the chief spin doctor for Sarkozy, who Strauss-Kahn in the polls was set to beat for president next year, tweets out, kind of jumps the gun that, he's been arrested for raping this woman. And then they had another campaign official do it. And then they said, well, we had an operative at the hotel. Oh, so now they admit they're following him. I don't know. The whole thing's very suspicious. But finishing up with the media playing along with this, covering up for Schwarzenegger, and what's going on with Strauss-Kahn? What's your take on all this, Dr. Pechenik?
Well, I'm not a great fan of Strauss-Kahn. Number one, I grew up in France, and I came to America because this is a country of opportunity. France is not a country of opportunity, and quite frankly, France is not relevant to American national security interests. It's just not relevant. I think whether it's a setup or not, I think it's pathetic. Strauss was always a pathetic figure. He's always been compromised before. But, you know, in the world of intelligence, if you have an addiction, and particularly it's a honey trap that is women are easy to bait you in, then, you know, he deserves what he gets. But it's not really relevant to what we are talking about here in the United States. The difference with France is they're used to this. They got upset by the way we handled him in the police station, that we should have hidden him, which is nonsense. France is really not relevant. It's a country that saw its past 300 years ago, and we should just leave it alone and visit it just because it's basically a museum. It has no real viability for the United States. Let's get back to the United States, which is really the most important country that we're talking about. And why this Schwarzenegger issue is important, not because of Schwarzenegger himself, although the story was there. We do have to give credit to some of the reporters, a woman reporter in the L.A. Times, who tried to bring up this issue that he was groped and repeatedly was harassing women. But unfortunately, the major media comes in and people, like it's a circus, really want to hear the best that they want to hear about a man who talks about family values, has the money, and the ability to intimidate. That's the key issue. When it comes to power, and you have people like the Clintons or the Schwarzeneggers or the Kennedys or anybody else, it's about power and intimidation. So the women can't come out, the media gets intimidated, and in turn they try to basically build an alliance or a collusion with them. Very few reporters really try to break out, and when they do, they're co-opted. You can't say all the reporters were co-opted, but most of the people co-opted. And really, we go back to the American public. If you want bread and circus, you've got it. And basically, Schwarzenegger is a theater brilliant genius at being able to create a psyops. And he created the ultimate psyops, that he had a family, and he was a good family man, and so forth and so on. And so, once again, that psyops that's done domestically is costing us. Why is this important? It's not important.
It shows a culture of lies and people being fed lies.
That's correct. But at the same time, let's follow the money, Alex. This is costing the American public a lot of money, millions and hundreds of millions of dollars to support a staff. In particular, California, there's a $26 billion deficit. Jerry Brown has to go back in there, whether you like him or not.
Stay there. Back in 1 minute, Doc. Back in 1 minute. Going into Overdrive Live. Stay with us. We're live into hour number four. It's your chance to ask any questions of Dr. Chief Pechenik. Dr. Pechenik's happy to answer any of your questions. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. We've been covering a wide spectrum of ideas and information. I was talking to Doc during the break, and I said, you know, what else do you want to get into? And he said, well, you know, Europe's going under. Their currencies are imploding. We've got to talk about basically what we face economically and the fact that we need to point out who the big private bankers are who have got us into this situation, and they need to be punished criminally. They've committed crimes publicly. Even Rolling Stone had a big article that the Senate committee has found it was criminal, so start the indictments. Where are the indictments? Because if they get away with this, they can get away with even more. I think what you're talking about earlier with this criminal class is we're having to finance this political inside crony capitalist class, at the expense of all our liberties and our freedom, and that America is on a razor's edge, and that's why you as an insider are you know, coming out.
Well, let me put it this way. I'm not coming out. I've always been out.
No, I know.
In terms of truth. And I've been more than happy to take down institutions, whether they're civilian, foreign. That's not an issue for me. That's my professional expertise, and I've done it in many organizations, restructured them. I save lives, and I work on changing lives. The real issue for us is to understand we do have criminals. These are the heads of Citigroup, where they receive incredible amounts of money. The names are blank fine. Who's the CEO of Goldman Sachs. You have Rubin, who was a consultant while the subprime came in and was our former Secretary of Treasury and received $75 million as he was a consultant to Citigroup while the subprime came in. And when he was asked what in fact happened, he said, "I don't know. I wasn't involved." I mean, what nonsense. And we have a brilliant banking committee that did a brilliant job of writing up what happened. I mean, the SEC went in there and investigated. The financial committee, led by Peter Angelides, wrote a brilliant book, The Financial Crisis, in the inquiry report, and so did the Senate. And I think it's time for the American public to demand indictments. It's not as if we don't know where the crooks are. They're in Citigroup. They're in Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Chase Manhattan. You have them in Wells Fargo. You have them in the mortgage companies. They're all listed here in the federal documents. The answer now is for your public to stop whining, stop complaining, and stop seeing conspiracies and worrying about whether Steve Pachetti is going to get killed or not, because it's hard to spell his last name. Good God. I mean, I've had Noriega chase me, and he can't even spell it correctly every week. So the issue really to worry about is how do you get these people indicted so the future understands you cannot commit criminal acts, financial acts against the American public, no matter what your name is, and particularly if your name is Goldman Sachs. And this can't continue. So that's where the American public has to start. It has to say, give me back my money. Whether it's GM and you have a man who's supporting the communist propaganda machinery, or whether it's Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Chase Manhattan, and Wells Fargo, and other banks that have outrightly corrupted and admitted that they committed criminal acts, yet nobody has put them in prison because your politicians, the head of your Senate Finance Committee, the subcommittees on finance are all funded by these guys. So unless the American public demands through Twitter protests peacefully, demands they be investigated and indicted, this will not happen. Now, let me tell you one thing. It is clear in the financial crisis report that the real heroes of a lot of this institution are the attorney generals of the different states, all of whom came in and said these federal rules and regulations are totally inappropriate to have national banks coming into state governments and created subprime mortgages.
Stay there.
And a lot of the attorney generals of the different states should be awarded for the fact that they stood up, including the Manhattan attorney general. Now you have Cyrus Vance Jr. as an attorney general in Manhattan. These people should be applauded for going after these criminals.
All right, stay there, Doc. Got a break. Very great points. We'll be right back after the break.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I was just talking to Dr. Steve Pachinik about how we get this country back, states' rights, nullification. He was bringing up all these attorney generals trying to go after Obama with the carbon tax moves, trying to block that, going after Goldman Sachs and others for their criminal activities. I mean, trillions have been stolen, and the precedent cannot be allowed to stand that they're going to get away with this. Dr. Pachinik, finish up with that point, and we're going to go to some phone calls.
I think Cornel West, who's a professor at Princeton, an African American, said it best, that Obama is a black man representing the plutocracy and the money interests of Wall Street. And this is unacceptable. And he has to be held accountable. the guys on Wall Street have to go to prison. This is not a whether if or not, and I congratulate the attorney generals and the FBI and the various federal organizations that are cutting into this issue, the SEC, the new one, the Office of Comptroller, and other people who will go in and regulate them, but they have to go to prison. Department of Justice is now has to get involved, as does the FBI. So I have great faith in the ability for us to hold people accountable. Let's go to the phones if you want.
Any other points on ideas to expose this kleptocracy, this banking kleptocracy?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, let's talk about AIG. What AIG was for, selling insurance all over the world. In many ways, it was a cover for the CIA and operatives. And really, what does it do? It reinsures those people who have to have insurance or create financial instruments that don't exist. So you had this whole Ponzi scheme that's still in existence where men like Geithner and Bernanke and others who really have never been in the world of real business, they've all been, quote, policy thinkers, which is something else we have to get rid of because these are the welfare clients of the United States, these so-called think tanks in Washington. There's nothing more than an elaborate welfare system for people who have no jobs. And basically, we start to have to go back to devolution of federal power and getting back down to the state level and the county level where we can start initiating tax-free zones, where we can start businesses and getting the American worker back in there, the mechanic, the truck driver who doesn't have to pay $5 a gallon in diesel, the librarian who can make a living, the teachers who make more than $23,000 versus the $68 million that a banker makes for nothing else than just processing paper, and the Wall Street Journal of newspapers say that he's indispensable, which is absurd. So the American public has to hold these people accountable. And once we do, we can go forward. But in the meantime, I think America will be turning around because China's in trouble right now. Their interest rates are going up. The middle class is going up. Again, using Sina and Twitter, I think the Chinese public will attack the Chinese government. And I think the Chinese government has a very serious problem, and I've said it repeatedly, of trying to suppress 1.3 billion Chinese. And they have a serious water problem right now. They have a serious drought problem. And their money, unlike our own system, is based on social stability, where our system of capitalism is based on profit. The Chinese system is based on social stability, which means if they don't keep out loaning money, that is the Communist Party, they will have unrest, the likes of which they've never seen. And let me give you an idea. In a typical normal year under the Communist Party, in China right now, a year ago, they had 75,000 riots for corruption. That's a normal year. Now you take a year like now where you have increased interest rates, unemployment, where students are exceedingly smart in China and very well educated, more so than in many cases our own students, where they speak several languages, and there are no jobs for them. So the Chinese government has to be put on alert saying, you're in trouble. You're in major trouble. If you want to expand to Pakistan, you want to expand all over the world, you've got bigger problems internally than anybody else has. And now it's our turn to remain a superpower by getting our forces out of Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Middle East and start to work on redeploying our assets and our dollars transferred to civilian works, major structures for employment, not to get the banks out of trouble, but employment, real jobs, real people, and get the normal salaries that they deserve.
All right, let's go to phone calls. Good points there. Bill in Connecticut, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes. Hi, Alex. Hi, Dr. Pachanik.
Hi.
I have two points. First is, I don't know how we'll be able to resolve the financial mess when, as you said, we have this collusion between the politicians and the banks and even AIG. So you have the Federal Reserve giving money to both AIG and Goldman Sachs. And AIG was actually insuring Goldman Sachs' debts.
Yeah, no, AIG was the holding company to then break the money up on one hand, and then on the other hand, they were giving money directly. And then, of course, the Federal Reserve is just a holding company for Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and a handful of others. And so it's just all one big mafia up there.
Well, I think what the gentleman's getting to, and I agree with you, is the only way I can see it is that we have to hold them. The report says it very clearly, even their own federal report, that we do have to put some people in prison, not the Bernie Madoffs only, and not the guys who are insider trading. That's a distraction. You're talking about the president, CEOs of AIG. You're talking about the president, CEOs of Goldman Sachs, of J.P. Morgan. Once they're in prison, they're going to understand that this is not just a game where you can fool the public, and then you're going to have to put some of the your congressmen and senators like Dodd, Barney Frank held accountable, Max Baucus, all of these men who've been funded by AIG, J.P. Morgan, and they think this is all so cute because they can be in bed with them. That's not going to occur unless the American public insists. Let's hold them accountable.
No, I agree. We need to start beating the drums. I mean, even Rolling Stone said, Senate committee proves it's criminal, send them to prison. It's time for hundreds of these prominent bankers and some of these members of Congress to be clapped in irons, taken in, given a jury trial, and sent to prison. And I'm not talking about country clubs. And that will teach these criminals. Folks, if you don't keep corruption under control, you will fall apart like North Korea or Mexico. And they're trying to win and set the precedent that they can get away with this and use a police state against us. It is us or them. Send them to prison. Bill, thank you so much. Rand.
Let me say something. Nothing is more humiliating to Wall Street than to see Blank Fine or the heads of AIG and other people in Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan, literally arrested during the daytime by the FBI. They know how to do it. And trounced right out there in handcuffs, sent to prison. And let me tell you, that is an effective deterrent to everybody, including if you go into the Senate, you go into Congress, and you look at Barney Franks and Christopher Dodd and Max Baucus, and you look at all the ones in the Financial Senate Committee, both on the Republican and Democrat, put handcuffs on them, send them right through the daytime and show them on TV, and believe me, this will shut down this collusion. It works very effectively. Yeah. It's a counter psyops, but it works.
Rand in New York, you're on the air with Dr. Pachinik.
You know, the American public has been dumbed down. I mean, we're dumber than a bag of concrete at this point. They've got an efficient propaganda arm called mass media. I mean, it's like, right, I mean, Bin Laden's been dumped in the ocean. What next? He washes up on Gilligan's Island? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, what are we going to be believing next? How are we going to fight this, you know, when they've got everybody so dumbed down and such, you know, I mean, the propaganda that they've got is just
Rand, let me say something, though, and I want you to continue. But look, I mean, let's get real here. There's a process of awakening. People that want to be dumb are spectators. They're not on the field. We've got 100-1 people on the field against these folks. And so, yes, there are some dumbed down people, but there's a big awakening happening. Congress has a 9% approval rating. Mainstream media has about a 12. And so everybody isn't buying it. It's just that we don't know we're the majority because we still buy that final psyop that we're alone because we're not arrogant, and that actually plays against us because we are so humble. The truth is, let me tell you something I told you yesterday. Okay, just as a bellwether, I am known. My face is known from YouTube, the internet, radio show, newspapers and stuff, okay? 5 years ago, I'd get off a plane in New York, walk down a street for 30 minutes, five people come over to me. Now I get off a plane in New York and walk, I can't go 10 feet. I can't eat in restaurants. I can go to L.A., Austin, anywhere. And I can walk in a bar to pick up food to take home. Almost everyone leaves the pool tables, whatever, comes over to me. And I'm not going, ooh, look, Alex Jones is well known. The point is that you have no idea how powerful the liberty movement is. Don't underestimate. Dr. Pachinik, any comments?
I totally agree with Alex Jones. I've always been a great supporter of his. I don't care what my title is, conspiracist, truist, it doesn't really matter. But I want you to understand, and I want all of your listeners to understand, the American Revolution was not started by a majority of the people in the United States. It was started by a few. I don't have to go over the
3%. 3%.
Alex Jones have been remaining in there, and the Thomas Jeffersons, the Madisons, the John Adams. This is just a continuation of what our founding fathers said. No matter what the mainstream media is, no, the American public is not dumbed down. They are tired. There's a lot of information. They're overwhelmed, and they will say it. But there are no, you know, we are not dumb rummies. The American public is not a dumb rummy. Every politician is going to learn that at the expense of his or her career and possibly life. But the point of fact is, you have a lot of people in the government, in both the civilian and military government, who agree with what Alex Jones is saying and what he's doing. And so do I. I'm not coming out of the closet. I've always been somebody who's told people exactly what they think. I've thrown the President of the United States out.
No, Doc, I agree with you. We got to go to break. We got to go to break.
There are other Americans like that.
I mean, just to be clear, Doc, I wasn't saying, oh, look, I'm big. I want to be clear. The average person
you're fighting for it, and people believe in you, as I do.
Well, I mean, more than that. People don't know what Steve Pachinik looks like. They don't know what Johnny Sixpack looks like. Because I am public, I get an idea of how many people are awake and angry. That's what I'm saying. Most people aren't in that position to really get the real gauge. And I'm telling you, folks, it is... After, we're going to premiere here on air Obama bombshell birth certificate, a forgery. We have gone over it. It's undoubtedly a forgery, and we break that down. Dr. Corsi is coming out. He's always very careful. They've done an analysis. He's going to release it tomorrow. It is fake. And that's another question for Dr. Pachinik. Why would they put out such a shoddy fake? Well, Dr. Corsi thinks that, and we're going to go to more of your calls here in a minute. We're keeping until 40 after so we can get to all of them that are currently on the board. He thinks that they couldn't go to an agency because people might leak it or blow the whistle, so they had to have somebody in the camp do it. But you can see where it's low res and then it's high res where they've changed things. The typewriter font is generated by a computer. It's called Caring. That's confirmed just across the board. And also, you can tell that it's a computer because you have typewriter typing where you blow it up and it's the exact same letter, even down to the pixel. Now, understand, like a snowflake or a fingerprint, every typewriter strike is unique because the way it hits the ribbon, the way it slams down around the edges creates the microscopic fingerprint of that unique strike, depending on how hard you pushed and how it struck and how the paper was loaded. The thing is a stinking fake. Dr. Pachinik, we're going to finish up with the awakening that's happening, the positive news we talked about during the break, and then finish up with Chris, Michael, Mark, Bob, and Brett. We got to get to those callers, and we're so honored to have you. StevePachinik.com is the great site. Folks can find out more about all your work there, or so much of your work there. But I know you probably haven't fully looked into this, or you may have. You may not want to speak to it, but we've looked at it. Corsi's looked at it. There's no doubt it's fake. Why would they put out such a ridiculous fake? Do they want to make this a diversionary issue, or are they that shoddy? Or do you think it's real?
I don't think the birth certificate, I think it's a total distraction. Let's go back to a statement that I made about a week ago when I said, if my mother had been a major CIA operative in the 1960s, a single white female going into a Muslim country like Indonesia who had a PhD in the very sophisticated subjects of anthropology, sociology, or teaching, and taught English and was trained at the East-West Center in Hawaii, which, by the way, was under my jurisdiction as Deputy Assistant Secretary of East Asia. And I know we used that legitimately as a front for the CIA, and she probably was on a contract to the CIA, was a CIA officer. Then the question is really not even relevant about birth certificate. The question is, why doesn't Obama accept the fact that his mother was a CIA operative, his grandmother had worked in the banking system of Hawaii, was also in a CIA operation, and why is it that the CIA has a narrative that doesn't really make sense? It's again that old story.
So that's why they're covering up, is to cover up the intelligence agency family, and there's even more than just those involved, as Wayne Matz and others have documented. Why are they covering that up? So there's definitely a cover up, but you're right. If he's born out of the country in a CIA, then still he's an American citizen.
Yeah, I mean, whether he's American or not is not the issue. The issue is, why is the intelligence narrative so distractive, and why was it imposed again on the American public in a way that very few people really knew who Obama was, other than Chicago, and that he came out of nowhere, which wasn't exactly true. There's a CIA narrative that goes way back from 1960s. It comes now, and once again, as I said, the intelligence narrative is not good, as it was not good in 9/11, and it was not good with Osama bin Laden's death. This has nothing to do with conspiracy. You could look at the NSA records. She's on record for having been in the CIA. You can look at the CIA documents. I mean, this is absurd. Basically, you have a family who worked for the CIA, which is legitimate. I mean, the CIA should be very proud of this, that in the 1960s, they were able to recruit young single women to work in the areas of expertise in dealing with Russians who were involved in the overthrow of a coup of Suharto. Now, why they have to impose that narrative on the American public again 30 years later and 40 years later bespeaks the fact that the CIA may be out of control and the CIA is no longer relevant to either foreign affairs or domestic.
But Doc, I understand it's an Doc,
that
I understand.
Americans have to deal with and hold the Subcommittee on Intelligence accountable. Mr. Berman, who works in the House Intelligence Committee, should answer these questions.
I know, but I'm asking you,
American public,
briefly, we're going to break. Why would they put out a fake one?
Because, I don't know, because the narrative does not work. It is a disaster. They have messed up from the beginning. Again, it's the Osama bin Laden, but put on Obama. The narratives are not working anymore. The public is too sophisticated.
We'll be right back. We're going to jam in calls. 1 minute per caller, because we got to get to this birth certificate video. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, final segment. Just got a few minutes left with Dr. Steve Pachinik. I want to jam in a few of your calls. We'll definitely have him back up and maybe just do calls, because I love the questions listeners bring up. Chris, Michael, Mark, Bob, Brett. Please just have a quick question or comment for Dr. Pachinik. He's got to have quick answers. Chris in New Hampshire, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Pachinik. For years, the thing I couldn't understand about the whole 9/11 fiasco was how nobody from within government had the guts to stand up and come forward. And obviously, things have changed, and you have restored a little bit of faith in my government, for me at least.
By the way, there have been a lot of whistleblowers from 9/11. Sybil Edmonds, Colonel Schaefer, the list goes on for hours, but go ahead.
I have been on the phone, sir, all day with the Attorney General, State Attorney General from New York, and their offices and their officers and investigators. I've also been on the phone with the district attorney in Lower Manhattan, who would have jurisdiction over a crime of this magnitude, obviously. Did you know, sir, that the district attorney in Lower Manhattan is Cyrus Vance Jr.?
Yes, I knew that. That's the son. I believe it's the son of the man I worked with, Cyrus Vance.
Yeah, here's the headline. D.A. Vance announces arraignment of Dominic Strauss-Kahn for sexual assault in a hotel. Cyrus Vance Jr.
That's correct. Well, they are very, very eager to hear from you. They want to speak with you regarding impaneling a grand jury investigation to hear what you have said. I have their phone number here if you'd like it.
Not at this particular point, but if they're happy to reach me, they know where to get me.
Okay, I have given them all your contact information, and actually, if you guys want to hear the interview that I conducted with their senior lead investigator at the district attorney's office, you can find that at 911dude.net.
All right, we'll look it up. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the people in New Hampshire.
All right, thank you so much. I got to jump to the next caller. That's interesting. Obviously, Dr. Pachinik can find their number. He says he's ready to be contacted by them. Getting deeper into this, Doc. Michael in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
Hey, I'd like to offer a brief observation and a synopsis of a solution that I've spent the last year of my life working on. and get Steve's informed comments on that.
Okay, real fast. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the observation is this. Currently, law enforcement, they use rewards for the arrest of and conviction of criminals, and it works very well. It doesn't take a whole lot of money to get really good results. But oddly enough, you see all the criminals that you've been talking about today on today's show, these law enforcement agencies, they're not offering rewards for their arrest. That's a very interesting observation. And because of this, I've spent the last year of my life working on a website called arrestwanted.com. And this is a website where Americans can directly contribute.
No, I've
rewards.
Seen it, sir. You've sent it to us. We put money in and there's an award for somebody. That could be construed. We're putting bounties out, extrajudicial bounties out. And I appreciate your call. Let's go ahead and talk to Mark in Michigan. Mark, you're on the air. Go ahead. Quickly, please.
Hello, Alex, Dr. Pechenik.
Hi.
I was on, I believe it was Drudge Report a couple of days ago, and they were talking about the 10 people that have turned up dead with regards to the BP Gulf oil spill, and also that the most experienced deepwater drilling manager at the time was removed from the platform just before they came to their most critical stage, and they brought in a rookie to take charge of the platform. And then all of a sudden, you know, we have the spill and Obama shuts down all drilling out in the Gulf. And shortly thereafter, he announces how he wants to be the best customer for Brazil. And then it comes out, to, actually, believe it or not, on Beck, how George Soros owns 25 million shares of this oil company down there in Brazil. And it just seems like the same modus operandi that we're seeing with 9/11 and how the government's working and big money working against us and our nation.
Well, I can tell you BP is not a very effective organization. The shareholders are already questioning the management and CEO. He just messed up a major deal with Russia. So BP is on notice for the stockholders that they're not happy. So whatever else you could say, it's just not a very effective company.
Nor all right. Well managed. We've only got a minute or two left. Bob and California, you're on the air. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Alex. Thank you for the opportunity to
sure.
speak with someone of Dr. Pechenik's reputation and character. My question is this for Dr. Pechenik. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to read a Chinese document on unrestricted warfare. My question is, if he had a chance to read that document, is it still valid today?
I know the document you're referring to. Basically, the Chinese warfare doctrine states that they will do a low-tech war and that they will not allow any incursion into their sphere of influence, which they determined to be quite extensive in South China Sea. And they've had real problems now with Vietnam, the Philippines, and the Spratly Islands. And we're aware of that. The SyncPAC is doing a very good monitoring and management of that whole area. But the Chinese are very aggressive, contrary to what they claim. They're exceedingly aggressive. But yes, I'm aware of the Chinese war doctrine. They're very aggressive.
All right. Thank you so much. We're just out of time. Sorry to Brett and others. StevePechenik.com, Doc, you've been very nice to spend time with us. A very interesting perspective on the world. We appreciate your courage coming here on the broadcast, and I'm going to go to this video, Obama bombshell, here in just a moment, but I'd like you to stay on hold so I can say bye to you once we go off air, but thank you for spending time with us.
Oh, it's an honor, it's a pleasure, and I do appreciate the audience, and please rest assured that you will be able to have an impact on our government, thanks to Alex and other people. It's nothing to do with me, but we have an amazing public in America, and we can't be fooled repeatedly. And remember, each generation has to fight for its own democracy. So that's where we are right now.
Absolutely. Dr. Pechenik, again, thank you for joining us. Folks, we're about to go to the premiere of this video. It'll go up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com in a few minutes. Help get it out to everybody. Here's the premiere of the streaming video at PrisonPlanet.tv. And the audio for radio listeners, Obama bombshell, new birth certificate, a forgery. It is a 10.5-minute special presentation, Obama bombshell, new birth certificate, a forgery. Help get this out to everyone. Our previous video is already the top link on YouTube. Here it is.
Now, I know that there's going to be a segment of people for which, no matter what we put out, this issue will not be put to rest. But I'm speaking to the vast majority of the American people, as well as to the press. We do not have time for this kind of silliness. We got better stuff to do.
I've got some very important breaking news for you dealing with the whole President Obama birth certificate issue. But before I get into the latest developments, I want to make it clear. In the last 3 years, I did not embrace the birther issue. I'm somebody that questions government. Look at Nixon lying to us. Look at Clinton lying about Monica Lewinsky and then Cruz missiling a African aspirin factory as a political diversion. Look at George W. Bush premeditatedly lying about WMDs in Iraq and being caught. So it's good to question. But there's all these real issues out there that Obama needs to be confronted on. Continuing torture, wars, giving health care waivers to his friends that don't have to get the insurance. So many things. And I've wanted to focus on that. So when this whole birth certificate issue first got raised 3 years ago, I thought it was a red herring, a distraction from issues. But then a year or so later, when they released this government receipt of a birth certificate and told everybody that this was the original and that nothing else existed, and you were a crazy conspiracy theorist if you believe that a long form existed.
Looney Tunes, and this craziness has spread to Capitol Hill for real now. Well, everybody's getting on the zoo bus when it comes to this question. Nutty questions about the president's birth certificate are being fueled by conservative talk show hosts like Rush Bell himself and, of course, some others like Lou Dobbs.
Yeah.
I'm showing you his birth certificate.
It's
on the screen now. Take a close look.
I knew that was a lie. I knew that I had the original blueprint with my feet prints and my weight and the doctor's signature on it. I knew that that was a lie, but still I said, who knows? Then the White House spent over $2 million fighting lawsuits that were trying to get his long-form birth certificate released. Then the governor-elect, Abercrombie, of Hawaii, said in January as he was going into office that he would get the original birth certificate and release it. Then he told some of the newspapers there in Hawaii that he'd looked for it and couldn't find it. And I started saying to myself, man, this is really weird. Even if he couldn't find it, he's a Democrat, why would he say that he couldn't find it? It got stranger and stranger. Then about a month before this book was set to come out, Where's the Birth Certificate by Dr. Jerome R. Corsi, Obama out of the blue comes out and gives a press conference and laughs about it and says, here is my original birth certificate. Here's the long form. And I'm like, wow, they're being honest. Long form. So I said, good, we can put this red herring to bed and now focus on the real issues, like Obama going along with the Republicans in the continued banker bailout of tens of trillions of dollars. But then our phones started ringing, and we saw major Photoshop blogs that weren't even political looking at this and pointing out that when you put it in Illustrator, you could break it into layers. And that's normal, except that normally it only shows two layers. There were a whole bunch of different layers, and different areas were more pixelated and were lower res than other areas, showing clearly that it had been altered and photoshopped. Then I began to notice that this was a typewriter, but if you blew up letters printed by the typewriter, stamped by the typewriter, that they were exact copies of each other, which is impossible. A typewriter is a key striking the ink ribbon, and depending on how hard you hit it or how it strikes the paper, each one is different, like a fingerprint or a snowflake. Then I noticed that in the same type, there were different letters from a different font. You've got the code number out of sequence and out of date. It was as if this had been forged on purpose to make this the issue. And I pointed that out in our YouTube video that's gotten over 600,000 views on the subject, that this is a shoddy fraud. It's well known that they have federal agencies like the CIA and others that are masters at making near-perfect forgery. So why was this so shoddy? And why would Obama counter Donald Trump going around talking about the birth certificate issue and Dr. Corsi's book that was about to come out, if it was a fraud, if it was a joke, if it didn't matter? And as soon as we looked at this document, it was clearly a fraud, clearly a forgery. And we asked ourselves why. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, I'm nonpartisan. I'm a constitutionalist. I'm a libertarian. I don't like the Republicans or the Democrats. And I'm on record for that. I simply look at things and break down the facts. Now, the new information enters the story, and here's where it gets crazy. Today, Esquire, a known attack dog and political partisans of the Democratic Party, came out and savaged WorldNet Daily published book by Dr. Corsi, Where's the Birth Certificate, and put out this huge hoax saying that it was being recalled, 200,000 copies, that Joseph Farah, the owner of WorldNet Daily, had chewed out Jerome Corsi, and that he was offering for people to get their money back and for publishers to send it in. And this was not done by a satire writer. This was not done by somebody who noted on the article that it was satire. Once the story launched and Joseph Farah said he was going to sue or was thinking about suing, then they added a little blurb at the bottom saying, hey, this is satire. Now, this does a lot of things here. It shows the White House is desperate. This came out on the same day that the White House told ABC News and others that they're going to run, not on Obama's record, of basically being a Bush clone minus different rhetoric, and that they were going to put out T-shirts about the birth certificate and make it a big joke because they don't want to focus on the issues. So clearly, in a concerted effort, they're still afraid of this book. They come out and create a hoax saying it's been discredited. The publisher has removed it. He's taking it off bookstore shelves. You can get your money back, trying to create a grassroots buzz for people to try to get their money back. I mean, this is economic espionage. This is an extremely dirty trick. And if the White House has already discredited all this, and this is their new campaign slogan, why then would they engage in this type of just unbelievably dirty trick? And it's because they are scared. Well, it now turns out that Dr. Jerome Corsi is going to be coming out in the next few days, including on my radio show this Friday, and breaking down their forensic experts that have proven that basically this is a composite of multiple real Hawaiian birth certificates from 1961. And that is what we had said a month ago when all this first broke. Again, at first on air, I was like, well, okay, looks like it's real. We'll have to check it. But there you go. Let's move on to real issues. And then we look at it and it's like, oh my God, this thing is fake on purpose. So either it's they didn't want to use an agency and they used Bob down the hall to do it because they were afraid of leaks to make a good fake, a good forgery, or they are simply engaging in a psyop trying to make the whole debate continue to be about the birth certificate because it's balkanizing and divides the people along an issue that doesn't deal with the banker bailouts and the corruption and all the things that both major parties are involved in. But either way you slice it, this thing has been altered. I mean, in more than 50 ways, and that's conservative. Then you've got the White House releasing the latest final birth certificate, and it's got this green hash background that is not on the copy that the Associated Press reportedly went to the stacks and got. And Dr. Corsi says he's going to produce evidence showing that they basically have gone in and inserted this into the book, the same book in the archives that Governor Abercrombie couldn't find. And then you have the fact that this doesn't even have the official seal. None of them do. Not the first AP one, not the one the White House released. And again, I could go on for hours. This is a giant mystery, a giant whodunit. I don't know why they've put out this fake birth certificate. He may have been born in Hawaii. I would rather debate Obama on the issues, just like I'm against most of the Republican people that are running. Ladies and gentlemen, it's up to all of us to figure out exactly what's happening. But the norm for presidents in these corrupt administrations is to lie to us. And we have Obama come out and tell us that this is his birth certificate when they told us 2.5 years ago that the last copy was the official birth certificate. Nothing else existed. We've been lied to so much by government that we would be idiots to just believe what they told us because they told us. It is common sense to question these people. And I wish we could end this issue, but it's only getting deeper. And maybe that's what they want.